following program is intended for mature audiences.
The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio.
We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen.
This is the cue.
Let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
You dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland. You are listening to the best moderate liberal pop culture, everything that you could possibly think of, politically twisted radio show east and west of that Mississippi River, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri. And it is another week and another amazing episode of the queue with Dan Walsh and producer Bobby.
Yeah, baby.
The Supreme Court makes it possible to do random shows whenever they want to. We're going to talk about that. We are talking air shows, and Bobby has a big that he's going to make today. So we are going to discuss that a little bit. But let's not waste any more of your time. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the queue. My name's Mark. That's producer Bobby over there. Hey. Dan Walsh is going to be here shortly. He's got some business. I mean, when you're the polar vortex, you know, and when you are flying reality, when you're the heavyweight champ of the queue.
And the king of all media.
He is not the king of all media. I don't understand why you keep telling people that Dan Walsh is the king of all media. He is not the king of all media. Howard Stern is the king of all media.
No.
I am the prince or the king of talk radio. You know that, right?
Right.
Like, I have been given that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and he's the king of all media.
If you'd like to find out when I became the king of talk radio, all you have to do is go back to an episode, search on the website, go to theqnow.com, and search up a famous comedian and television show star, Jim Jefferies, called me the king of talk radio. Yeah, it happened.
That's awesome.
Mark's the king of talk radio. That's all there needs to be said about that. Like, if you are what you are, that's all I can
absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I've got some rants I want to talk about. Bobby, what's going on in your world right now, man? Are you good?
Got some weird stuff happening where I'm kind of, I guess you could say, to save money in the long run, but moving back home so that eventually I can purchase a home, and then hopefully,
right.
We're gonna be having some big things happening, especially here in a month when my son's here.
Well, yeah, when your son comes in, I want to do the queue live from the delivery room.
Yes.
I don't know if your wife will appreciate that, and I'm sure my wife will take me to task for that.
Actually, when my first daughter was born,
okay,
you know, you have the family that has to sit in the waiting room,
of course.
So I had an iPad at the time, and I thought it would be cool to log on Justin TV or what's there's another one that's out there too.
A Ustream.
Ustream.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be cool because you can download an app and stream from your phone to Ustream the birth of my daughter. Absolutely can't do that.
Of course you can't do that in conservatively run America, and especially conservatively run middle America.
Doctor.
Yeah, we're not allowed to do that. No, we're conserve everything.
Doctor definitely said no way, can't do that.
Always conserving on something. Okay. I think we have an interview coming up tonight.
We do.
Not.
His name is Mark Sutherland. He is actually the coordinator for the Spirit of St. Louis air show.
Okay, cool.
Which is going to be bringing the Blue Angels back to St. Louis.
All right. And then you've got a special announcement. We'll talk about that later. So everybody stay tuned. The last time Bobby had a special announcement on the queue was an amazing moment in the history of the queue because it turned into the last episode of the queue, which was William Shatner. You actually were able to get us an interview with William Shatner. And it was an amazing interview. Him and Johnny Bananas from MTV. Like, we had a great show. And now you have another huge announcement that you're going to make.
Absolutely.
I think that you're a sexy man when it comes down to that stuff. That's all I'm saying
I do what I can.
You do what you can.
You make sure you stay tuned. You're going to have an announcement all the time.
Okay. Let me get into a couple of my rants. Okay, we are WWE. We're pro wrestling fans.
Absolutely.
Would you stop eating live on the air? Not do that anymore. Gosh darn it. It's bad enough.
I haven't eaten all
day. A turkey leg, man. You need to stop, dude.
I'm trying to prep for Six Flags.
Yeah, you are. Which, by the way, let's get a little homework out of the way real quick that we have to get out of the way. Don't forget to go to theqnow.com. Go as soon as you can because we are now giving away Carmen tickets to see Carmen, the group, at the pageant on April. Go to theqnow.com, the contest section, and you can find our little entry thing that we do there, and then you click on Carmen's name, and then you put your name and stuff in, and we've got tickets to give away to see Carmen live at the pageant. So we are going to be doing that here on the Q over the next week. Now,
also,
we are going to be involved very soon, and I mean, I'm starting to let my legs are already starting to ache a little bit. You know what I'm saying? With the Roller Coaster Race 5K, which is going to be having it at Six Flags St. Louis on May 4th. That's Sunday, May 4th
at 8 a.m.
in the morning. You have to register pre-registration.
Correct.
Basically, it's a really cool, unique idea. You run a 5K race, and then you turn around and you go into the theme park, into Six Flags proper, and you ride roller coasters until you've ridden the equivalent of 5K in roller coasters.
Which equals out to, if you really wanted to, ride the boss 3 times.
So that's it. Just the boss 3 times.
Yep.
And then you get to enjoy yourself and have a great day at Six Flags. So you get a t-shirt, you get all these cool things, and yeah, it's awesome.
You get parking for free. Parking is included. You're going to get a t-shirt, you're going to get a medal, and it's just really cool to be able to do this and be part of it. If you want to know more information, go to rollercoasterrace.com or go to theqnow.com to register to be part of the team. But stay tuned for sure because I personally am working on a lot of other really cool giveaways that we're going to be having right here on the Q.
That absolutely nobody else in our station, in our market, has the ability to get. They just can't get them.
What?
They can't get them. That's all there is. Yeah.
Chip.
Ladies and gentlemen, DC Chimes is here to hang out
DC.
With us.
Just for a minute. What are you talking about? No one else at our station.
No one can
has
get these
the ability
Nobody.
To get what?
Any
what?
Of the stations. Any of the stations I'm on. Nobody has the ability to get these cool things that we are doing
now. At any other station, yes.
No, this station.
I would agree.
I'm telling you.
Well, I'm a part of this station. What are you talking about? Well, I can get anything I want
now,
in this town.
Now,
anything.
Now, that's probably very true, especially
very true.
An undercooked Ruth's Chris steak or an Applebee's steak.
I could give away the Arch.
Could you?
Yes.
You really
can we do that?
10th caller right now.
10th caller right now to the queue gets the Arch. You can just have that bad boy sent over to your house via UPS.
We're not even going to do the normal
now,
thing.
I do want to know, like, DC, a question for you. We're doing the Roller Coaster 5K. Do you know what we're talking about?
It's that race
at the
Six
Flags. Six
Flags.
Yes, exactly. And are you a part of Team Q? Are you going to be on Team Q with us, or are you busy?
When are we doing this?
This is May 4th.
At 8 a.m.
At 8 a.m. at Six Flags, St. Louis.
Is that a Saturday? What is that?
That's a Sunday morning, man.
Ooh, that's a little early.
I mean, I know that you're aged. You know what I'm saying? I think that you've got me by about 14 minutes when it comes to age.
Yeah, so if you want to...
Aged.
Bobby's older than both of us.
Yes, he is. He's a much older gentleman.
I am. I just do well at looking young.
That's right. Now, the question is could your legs hold up? Could you do this? Are you a roller coaster fan in the first place?
I do love roller coasters.
Yes. Do you love Six Flags?
Of course, who doesn't?
Do you like walking next to Mark and Bobby? Because we ain't running. There's no running. Like, those are some knees that are going to get hurt right there.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I'll let you share my turkey leg.
And you'd have to hang out at Six Flags all day with us.
Actually, I believe it or not... And Bobby knows a little bit of this from this past summer. I actually was at one point, I haven't been doing it as much lately, but I was running a couple of miles a day.
Nice.
Every day.
Getting yourself back into shape.
So, and I kind of like doing that. I just haven't had time lately.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to see if we can work it out to get DC Chimes to be a part of Team Q over at the Roller Coaster Race 5K. Okay.
On May 4th.
On May 4th.
Let's do it.
All right. You're in, dude.
Let's do it.
All right, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen. DC Chimes, wait, thank you so much. What's up?
Are they going to let us ride rides on May 4th in the morning?
Oh, yeah. It's a dual thing, baby. Here's what happens. You go and we do the walk 5K.
Uh-huh.
Then you get to go into the theme park and ride roller coasters until it's 5K.
Cool.
And then you get to hang out at Six Flags and you get a free lunch and have a good time. And it's only... it's only $80 to do both of these things.
And I'm gonna
if you have a season's pass, I think it's only $45, right?
Right, right. I'm going to force that girly man you have on this radio program,
Dan Walsh.
Dan Walsh. Oh, yeah, the Polar Vortex. Yeah.
To get on the Superman ride.
The king of all media.
So afraid
he's
of.
He's extremely un... He's doesn't...
like a little girl.
He's like... he's in...
he's like a little girl.
It's like he's in the Air Force.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's like a fighter. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I don't understand that.
He could have been a Navy man.
He could have been a Navy man. Anything but Marines at this point. That's all I'm saying.
There's a rumor online, you know, because he was on the Road Rules on
right.
MTV.
Yeah.
That he might be Homo sapien.
He might be Homo sapien,
have
yes.
You heard that?
This is,
I didn't
this
hear
is
that.
Some damning evidence that you just brought to the queue.
I would check into that.
We need to ask him when he gets here.
I don't
here.
Know how you guys feel, but I'm a little weirded out.
I only go to conservative blog sites, so unless... but that's where all the conspiracies are, so I guess that works out to our
advantage. Dude, I'm freaked out by Homo sapiens.
I don't like working directly next to... I mean, hey, Homo sapiens do whatever they want to do.
Of course.
I don't like working next to one.
Right, of course. You don't want to do any of that.
I don't know.
I understand completely. Yeah.
These Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
Changes my viewpoint of Dan.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, DC Chimes, for chiming in with us. Appreciate it, dude.
Thank you.
All right. And
he's left the building.
Don't forget Roller Coaster 5K May 4th. Now, now that we've gotten into all that, let me get into my rants, man. I got a couple rants here. So anyway, WWE fans, I started there before DC jumped in here. WWE fans, and we love the kitchen nostalgia that is WWE. Let's be honest. You know what I'm saying? Watching some of those old pay-per-views, watching Superfly Snuka, watching any of the guys that were well-known in the 80s and the 90s, always fun for us.
Iron Man match between Bret and Shawn made me want to be a wrestler.
Now, I've got an issue, though. I have a problem, and this is not so... it's because of a WWE film, but it has nothing to do with what my rant is. My rant is making movies that just don't hold up. And the movie I'm specifically talking about that just does not hold up, that started me on this rant, and I don't understand it, No Holds Barred.
Oh, the old movie?
With Zeus, that's right, versus Rip'em. Rip'em? The
well,
Ripper?
He was Rip'em, yeah.
Yeah, he was the Ripper. But Hulk Hogan versus Tom Lister, I think, Tiny Lister?
I think
so,
the
guy who played Debo in the Friday movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I was watching that movie the other day because literally just out of nowhere, I was going through Netflix and I'm like, oh, wow, look, No Holds Barred happens to be on Netflix, which we're going to talk about something that's cool that's going on with Amazon later on. But unfortunately, dude, it was not cool. The movie just does not hold up. Like, there's a lot of that kitsch value to it. You know what I'm saying? It's got the cheesy Rip'em, and he's doing...
well, I think it's different nowadays, though. At the time, that movie was huge. That movie was considered a box office hit.
Here's the... well, okay, a lot of those movies were because, like, okay, another movie. Great movie. But as far as, like, the quality of the movie, when you go back and watch it now, Bloodsport. Bloodsport doesn't hold up. Like, the uniqueness of the movie is cool.
Right.
The story is cool. The scenes are cool. But I don't think that the movie, like, The Goonies holds up.
Right.
Like, top to bottom, The Goonies holds up. You're not going to ever watch The Goonies in 2014 and go, gosh, this just looks dated and horrible, and they just didn't do their job. Or Back to the Future. You're never going to say that about Back to the Future. Bloodsport was a huge, huge, extremely well-known movie. That evidently falls into this category that we're talking about,
like the movie. They came back or something like that, or whatever.
Is it They? It's just They, isn't it?
No,
the one with Roddy Piper.
No,
is that what you're talking
about? I'm thinking of, like, you know, you're talking about movies that just don't hold up, but like these scare, like they're from the early 90s or late 80s, early 90s.
Is it a scary movie thing? Could it be, like, okay? I think that we give a little bit more creed and credit to scary horror movies than we do normal movies. Like, if you're just a normal movie and you don't hold up,
I agree,
we're going to sit there and go, okay, you don't hold up, you suck. But if you're a horror movie,
we allow it.
We allow the kitsch, the cheesiness to be a part of it.
Because we know that's what's happening is it's cheesy. Like, you know, the girl is not supposed to walk into that damn room because the guy is on the other side of the wall and he's going to stab her in the face. Like, you know that. But with the cheese, yes, it's the cheesiness, and we allow it to be okay.
Yeah, so I have a problem with Hollywood not creating movies, in my opinion, that are holding up as well. And I think that there's new movies that have come out within the last few years. I just don't think they're going to hold up, like Pacific Rim. Great-looking movie for our current time period. But 5 years from now, when you look at Pacific Rim, or like 10 years from now, I think you're going to be disappointed in the movie.
Absolutely. The movie Real Steel, I don't think will last that long. I mean, there's a ton of movies.
And Real Steel wasn't even that bad of a movie, story-wise, you know.
But I don't think it will. I don't think that people will care about that type of situation.
Like, even The Karate Kid, which I did meet Ralph Macchio at the Comic-Con, you know. Even The Karate Kid holds up. It looks dated, but it holds up.
Well, like comedy movies. Comedy movies are one of the hardest movies that hold up over time.
Oh, yeah, very hard, because you look at Splash. You look at some of those old 80s movies.
Like, surprisingly, Caddyshack, Stripes.
I don't think that Caddyshack holds up as well as people think it does. Like, I know it's funny. I remember seeing it back in the 80s and the early 90s when I was young enough and old enough to understand the jokes and stuff. So, like, I appreciate the nostalgia of Caddyshack, and I grew up in that time period, so I understand it.
Right.
But if you've never seen Caddyshack, it's 2014, and you pop it on for somebody, they're not going to get the jokes. They're not going to care. Like, those jokes aren't funny. They just aren't. And the, like, Caddyshack 2 is a perfect example. It was a sequel. Obviously, sequels usually tend to fall off. It doesn't always...
Right.
The Godfather Part 2 doesn't always happen. Now, my point with that is that, like, Caddyshack 2 relied a lot on Jackie Mason. Jackie Mason didn't, like, fall into his own technically... in the popular culture-wise, until Caddyshack 2 came out. So if you weren't around in the early 80s for that 2 to 3 year period where Jackie Mason was out there a lot and people knew who he was, he falls off real quick. You don't care. It's kind of like Wayne's World. Wayne's World's a good movie that we grew up with, but you don't know Mike Myers from Saturday Night Live. You don't know Dana Carvey the way that you like the way that we knew him back then. So if you watch Wayne's World today... Yes, you see the movie, you know maybe sometimes who those people are or you don't, but at the same point, when it comes right down to it, they don't get the characters.
Prime example, put the movies, and I'm just going to name these real quick, put the movies Night at the Roxbury, Tommy Boy, Black Sheep, and Superstar in front of someone who's 15 years old.
Oh, Superstar specifically. These are so character oriented to a specific time period that if you didn't see them and you didn't watch the shows at the time, you're not like, it's one thing to do Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore, I feel, is a comedy that will, or old school, that will stand the test of time.
Correct.
It has some quality to it, including
Billy Madison.
You know, we'll even go Animal House will stand the test of time. It really does have that feel. But like, or National Lampoon's Vacation. But even National Lampoon's Vacation is now starting to look really dated, man.
Hit or miss with people.
Like, it's starting to look really dated. But it's because you don't know. Like, if you see these dudes every single Saturday night on TV, you get to learn their comedy style. You get to learn the way they handle themselves in front of a crowd. So when they go and translate that over to the big screen, it makes a lot more sense.
Tell me the last time you actually heard someone say, man, I haven't seen, and I watched it the other day and laughed, The Loaded Gun. Naked Gun.
None of the Naked Gun movies. Airplane gets away with it, but I think the real true test when it comes to comedies and them getting away with it in comedies is it's got to have great one-liners. If you've got great one-liners or repeatable lines where you can, like, be drunk and say them to your friends or whatever like that, then a movie has a chance of standing the test of time. If you just don't, then that's bad. Like Grown Ups was a funny movie. I don't think 12 years from now, Grown Ups, anyone's going to pay attention to.
No, I agree. I don't think people will. Or there are just... I guess we could say such good movies for us, but we don't know.
Like, what is a cult movie? What's a cult movie when you were growing up in the 90s that you just, like, whenever you think of the 90s, you're like, I loved that movie. Clueless. I don't know why I loved it, but I loved it.
Clueless.
You loved Clueless. I think Clueless was a great movie. I think it's one of those movies that doesn't get a lot of credit. But here's the funny thing. Years from now, it's not going to hold up. It's just too indelled with that time period right. and the way they talked and who they were.
Right.
Another one that was really good was the one with what's her name? Reese Witherspoon, where she wants to be the lawyer.
Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde. Great movie, but I just think 10 to 15 years from now, it's not going to hold up as well.
Right.
I just think certain jokes are going to be timeless and other ones aren't, you know?
And the hardest thing is...
And don't call me Shirley. Like, that's funny, like, you know...
You will always, forever hear that because that will be passed down generation to generation. Gran Torino.
I think it's a fantastic movie.
I don't think it'll stand the test of time, though.
Gran Torino, you don't think so? I think it's different when it comes to those kind of dramas. Depending on, like...
It has to do with the... But it has to do with...
Like Psycho, the original Psycho from the 50s, looks right. very dated. It's black and white, you know what I'm saying? The acting, to me, is a little stilted because we just have a different acting style now that we've grown up with watching and stuff like that.
Right.
But I think the movie's premise still stands the test of time.
Gran Torino was a great movie, but you have to have someone that you know that is that old man, that is Clint Eastwood, who served in Vietnam, who saw those people, but people 10, 15 years from now aren't going to have that relationship. They're not going to have that ability to relate like that. So I don't feel people are going to try and say, well, it's similar to people that went to Iraq. No, Vietnam was a different situation.
Well, yeah, Vietnam was young men between the ages of 18 to 23 that were literally stolen out of their houses
right, right.
because a draft made them,
right.
sent to a foreign land where the advancement of warfare was much different than World War II and one
right.
and the Civil War and all that. Like, they were literally using napalm, and they were literally using machine guns and Agent Orange and, like, chemical warfare. Like, we had advanced so much more by that time period.
Right.
These young men, including my dad being one of them, you know, they ended up being in a seriously bad situation. So, yeah, I think that there's certain wars. Like, if you came up to... Like, I had a person come up to me one time. I'm not knocking anybody who's a veteran by any means whatsoever. But I had a person who came up to me and said that they were in the Iraq War. And I asked which one, when they were over there. And they were like, oh, back in 1990. That was a three-day skirmish, man. That wasn't a war.
It was,
but they get veteran status because of it.
Technically, it was considered a conflict instead
right.
of a war.
Exactly.
But they got the name changed to a war so that those people that were over there and did get hurt somehow.
Yeah, the one day that they were there.
Could get some of the
benefits. And that makes me unhappy because you have a guy like Dan who's on the show who will be here shortly. But Dan, who goes over for a year or so or 2 years to be in right. a combat area, you know. And then you're trying to sit there and tell Dan, who's actually had grenades lobbed at him and all this other crap, that that you're in the same boat as he was because you were a member of the military in 1990 when we decided to go save some oil fields from being on fire.
Right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be time for us to take a quick break here on 1280 KYRO and 1420 WINI. Don't forget, you can check us out every single week on both of those stations, respectively, at 7 to 9 a.m. on 1420 WINI and on 1280 AM KYRO, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Also, check us out on westplexnewstalk.com. We will be back on the queue with more with me and producer Bobby after this.
Used to be a baby, used to be a lady, thought you were the perfect lover. All the harmony went falling out of key, so now you gotta find another. Now you're talking crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, joined today by producer Bobby as well, joining us on the show. Our main man, the Polar Vortex, the
king of all media.
Not the king of all, the heavyweight champ of the queue, Dan Walsh.
Yes, I love the argument that takes place every time we do that announcement.
Do you feel that you're the king of all media?
I maybe in real life I'm not, but I like to pretend like I am, so therefore I'm going to favor Bobby's introduction. Just because, why would anyone downgrade themselves?
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to move forward with this show, and we have a special guest who's joining us live on the phone right now, a gentleman by the name of Mark Sutherland. He is the managing director of the Spirit of St. Louis Air Show that is coming up the weekend of May 3rd
and 4th.
May 3rd and 4th. Mark, are you there, sir?
I am. It's a pleasure to be on with the King of All Media, and then you other guys as well.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Very, well, I don't.
Pleasure's all mine, Mark.
Quite overwhelming.
I'm just Mark, he called. They claim Bobby claims that Dan is the King of All Media. I tried to explain to him that I'm the King of Talk Radio. Howard Stern is the King of All Media
in the United States. Dan Walsh is the King of All Media in Czechoslovakia.
Mark, they reunited that country. Czech Republic and Slovakia. They just put them together just so that Bobby can make that announcement.
We discuss this every single week, Mark. It's ridiculous.
The international relations have never known a show like this before.
Yes. They have never known. Now, you sound like you are foreign yourself, sir. Where are you from originally?
Originally from the UK, born in Scotland, grew up in England.
What part of England?
I actually grew up in Farnborough, which is the home of the Farnborough International Air Show, which is where I got my love of aviation from.
Nice. I have family from Canterbury.
Canterbury, oh yes, them lots.
Canterbury.
North Country.
The North Country. So when you watch Game of Thrones, do you ever watch Game of Thrones?
I have not.
Do you ever watch it and go, oh, wow, that seems a lot like England, but it's not because there's dragons.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he does.
We've kind of progressed a few hundred years since then.
I'm sure he's like, when I was in...
It's got to be kind of cool, though, being over in an area where, like, there's castles. Like, there's legit castles just chilling. Some of them are in ruins, and other ones are, you know, obviously kept up, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's very cool, but you really take it for granted. You're just growing up around, there's a castle up the road. Oh, yeah, the family's got a castle up north of Scotland. Yeah, big deal. Then you come to America, and you're like... Why didn't I appreciate what I had when I was over there?
Now, are you a soccer fan? Is that a rule?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely. Yeah.
And what's the team that you support?
Liverpool, for as long as I can remember.
So you're a Beatles
Liverpool.
Guy.
Liverpool.
Beatles are cool, but the football team is quite nice, too.
Wait, I got a question, Mark. Why doesn't anybody like Blackburn? Every time that club's brought up, like, people are like, and they just don't talk about it. Like, is that the shameful club?
Oh, we actually like good teams.
Now, here's the funny thing. We've had Travis Cook on the show before. He's a huge soccer fan. One thing that I literally do love about soccer and professional soccer over in England and throughout the rest of the world, relegation. I think relegation is one of the coolest and best ideas sports actually has.
It is, and I will absolutely love it if Manchester United manages to get relegated this year.
That's a perennial super powerhouse.
Not anymore.
Yeah, unfortunately. We don't appreciate them. It's kind of like the Yankees of English football.
Because, like, the team that was always the lovable losers was Manchester City, but all of a sudden in the last few years they've become pretty good, right?
They are quite good, actually. Yeah, they're really good. Chelsea's good. Liverpool looks like they actually might win the Premier Division this year, which is going to be a good year. And, you know, if we just get rid of Manchester United, everything will be fine.
Fair enough. Well, let's talk a little bit about this air show that's coming up here in the St. Louis area May 3rd and 4th. Spirit of St. Louis Air Show. Now, I was under the impression, I was talking to Bobby off the air, I was under the impression that this air show, for some reason, I always remembered it being either a part of the St. Louis Memorial Day weekend or the St. Louis County Fair.
Yeah, it used to be part of the St. Louis County Fair.
Okay.
Back in 2007 was the last time that it actually happened in St. Louis.
And that was Memorial Day weekend, was it not? Yeah, okay.
It was a big holiday weekend. It was very hot. It was miserable, but there were really cool airplanes. Well, now we've actually got a really good weekend, and this is the 50th anniversary of the Spirit of St. Louis Airport, so it's a great year to bring it back. And
fair enough.
In 2012, the Blue Angels gave us a ring and said, hey, we'd really like to come back to St. Louis. We haven't been in St. Louis since 2007. And we're like, okay, since you called, we'll do an air show. So it all came together very, very well, and we've got the Blue Angels as the headline act and a lot of phenomenal acts that are performing with them.
Now, quick question for you. Are you an aviator yourself?
I am a wannabe aviator.
A wannabe.
I grew up around aviation. My house in Farnborough, England was right next to the airport there. So I had F-15s and F-14s and MiG-29s and Concorde flying over my house every couple of years. So I was inspired by aviation at a young age. And I've flown a few times since then. The Navy, when I came over to the States, they flew me out to an aircraft carrier. So I got to experience that. And I've flown with the Blue Angels before in the F-18. So I am an aviation lover, but I would not call myself an aviator.
Now, is this your full-time job? Is this what you do, like managing the Spirit of St. Louis Air Show?
No. So I'm one of a large team that has been involved since 2012. An incredible amount of people are required to pull something like this off. In my day job, I do a little PR and marketing for a variety of companies around the country and internationally.
You should come do PR and marketing for the Q Show.
I mean, you've got the king of all media, so, I mean, what kind of...
He's right.
We don't have Howard Stern.
He has the accent, and which means he is more intelligent than us.
I think that that's the rule.
And he says, I'm the king of all media. That trumps what you say.
All right, fair enough.
And you can get away with anything with an accent.
So what kind of airplanes should we be expecting at the new air show that's coming up here in just a few weeks?
So you've definitely got the Blue Angels. So they'll do their full routine, about 45 minutes to an hour of their routine, which is absolutely incredible. F-18s, 18 inches apart in various points, doing high G maneuvers. Part of that is Fat Albert, which is the C-130.
Mm-hmm.
Patty Wagstaff, who is one of the top acrobatic pilots in the country, and originally from St. Louis, actually. Performing Skip Stewart, who makes a biplane do things that really biplanes should not be able to do. He will do it. Lots of pyrotechnics involved. A lot of warbirds, so the B-17, the B-25, the Dauntless, just all these planes from World War II and Korea era are going to be in the air, and then some Hueys and some Cobras are going to be part of it as well.
For some reason, I'm not trying to bring this up to sully the discussion, but for some reason, I feel like there was an incident at an air show in St. Louis within the last few years. Is that true?
Not that I'm familiar with.
Something was jogging my memory of something that happened at an air show here in St. Louis, but I can't
be... Yeah, people were entertained in the masses, Mark. Well, that's what happened.
Of course, exactly. They were entertained in the mass. Okay.
It's an amazing, amazing performance. Just being around those planes, seeing what they can do with it, and then walking around and interacting with the pilots on the ground, seeing all the static aircraft. There's going to be 50 or so static aircraft on the ground as well. Plus a whole bunch of interactive stuff. It's just, the way I describe the air show is it's really cool airplanes in the air, inspiring kids and adults towards STEM and STEM education and STEM careers on the ground.
Now, one thing that's really cool, too, is after people go to the Roller Coaster Race 5K and check us out there, they can go to the Spirit of St. Louis Air Show and check out the Clydesdales.
Oh.
Absolutely. Budweiser the Clydesdales coming out. So they'll be out Sunday morning from 10 to 12, I believe.
And I think that there's a huge announcement also.
Hold on. I have one quick question.
Whoa.
Which planes will the Clydesdales be flying?
Yes.
That's a surprise.
All right.
Okay.
They haven't made that announcement yet. You can also go if you would like to. You can take a ride in a B-17, an actual aircraft from World War II?
Correct. Yes, the B-17 selling rides, the Huey and the Cobras are selling rides, and there is another plane. We're actually going to announce in a couple of days, and I can't for the life of me remember which one. Another World War II plane is going to be selling rides as well.
I think all of that is great, Mark, but I need to know, is there a funnel cake stand, and can I buy a turkey leg?
I'm sure you can.
All right, fair enough. Now we have a huge announcement.
We were leading up to that, Mark, with the
turkey
rides.
Legs or the funnel cake.
Because I'm gonna have the turkey leg, hopefully. No, we were leading up to the rides to make an announcement that hopefully we've gotten word back.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that one producer, Bobby,
that would be you, not the king of all anything,
will be taking a ride in a little something.
Yeah, there's this little C-130 that the Blue Angels happen to have that, you know, they
sit around, right?
Fast 3G takeoff, do a 0G turnover, and for some reason, and I'm not quite sure, they've asked for members of the media to ride on this plane. And on the list, I mean, none of these guys are approved, but they haven't said no to anyone, so consider yourself on.
Oh, my goodness.
Is your producer.
Yes! Fair enough.
What's that plane called again? The C-130,
but... C-130. It's otherwise known as Fat Albert.
That's what I was looking for. Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. When Bobby gets there, I want a picture of him next to the C-130 and next to the point where it says... Because I'm sure they have it painted on the side somewhere where it says, like, quotation marks... Fat Albert. You'll understand when we get there. No, I love Bobby. He's my boy.
No, I'm super excited. This is absolutely one of the coolest things that I have ever done, and I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be part of it.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Now, we really do think that you all should get out to the Spirit of St. Louis Air Show that's coming up the weekend of May 3rd and 4th. There's a website, Bobby, is there not?
Yes, if you want to get more information and find out other aircraft that are going to be appearing, go to spirit-airshow.com. That's spirit-airshow.com. And you can even see a little video of the Blue Angels to find out exactly what they do. Get a little teaser before you see them on the 3rd and 4th.
Well, Mark, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to sit down here with me, Dan, and Bobby on the queue. And we look forward to potentially having one of the best air shows in many, many years here.
Yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. Tickets are only $10 in advance, $12 at the gate. We decided to make it really affordable.
That's very affordable.
Under a free and as is active duty military.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on the queue, sir.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
You have a good night.
You too.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mark Sutherland with the Spirit of St. Louis Air Show. Bobby is going to be going up at a C-130.
They call it the Hercules, baby.
They don't. They call it the Fat
Albert. They call
it Fat
Albert.
They call it Fat Albert, and Dan just
stop
keeps
it.
Putting it in there.
C-130 Fat Albert, but in active duty, it's called the C-130 Hercules.
Is it? Is it? We just called it the C-130. I don't remember someone going, we're going to ride old Hercules.
No. Yeah, Mark didn't jump on there and be like, old Hercules is what's going to be raised today.
He's going to have a spot of tea in the C-130 Hercules.
No. You know what I loved is that your accent was actually more overdone than, like, he was trying to tell you, and then you would just overdo his accent.
That's awesome.
Like, he would be like, yes, it's Canterbury. And you're like, Canterbury.
Now, we were also talking earlier on the show, aside from awesome things like the Spirit of St. Louis Air Show that's coming up that we just talked to Mark about, we've got tickets to Carmen at the pageant. That's
absolutely
right.
Absolutely, baby.
And all the songs that we're playing today on the show to bring the show back from the breaks here on 1280 AM KYRO and 1420 WINI happen to be Carmen songs. So I'm sure you've heard a few of these on your favorite hot AC or top 40 radio station around the area. Go to the QNOW.com contest section. Click on that bad boy. There's a Carmen choice. Choose Carmen. Enter your name and you'll have a chance to win. And we have had a ton, and I mean a ton of people reach out trying to win free tickets to see Carmen live in concert. So that's going to be a really cool situation.
We've got a lot of other awesome, awesome giveaways happening very soon. I'm just waiting for the official word that we can post it on our website. So make sure you check that out at theqnow.com.
Okay, so let's get into something here. Dan, you're in college, are you not, sir? Do you do the school thing?
I dabble in education.
You dabble in the education
by
of
dabbling,
yourself.
I mean, yes, I'm a 30-year-old man trying to get his degree.
Well, yeah. In the name of dignity, the University of South Florida has issued a notice to the graduates asking them to refrain from selfies and other teen-like behavior, including strolling while picking up their diplomas. Simple handshake is preferred, says USF Student Affairs. Selfies are punishable by disciplinary action, including the withholding of your degree. Perhaps the school doesn't want to slow down the ceremony by allowing each student to whip a smartphone out of his or her gown and snap a photo with the school president. Maybe President Genshaft doesn't enjoy having his photo taken, or maybe the university would prefer students to follow the age-old tradition of paying an arm and a leg for graduation photos to the company it's contracted with. It's probably one or more of those things. USF joins Bryant University in Rhode Island, which recently grabbed regional headlines with a graduation selfie crackdown of its own at the forefront of a collegiate trend. But are schools acting too hastily to preempt a problem that might not really exist? Will kids really holding up the diploma line to pose for the perfect Instagram duck face shot be an issue? It's the first round of commencement ceremony since America's reached peak selfiness, as I like to call it. So we're going to find out. But what do you guys think about that?
I think it's an awesome thing to imply. Because I agree that your graduation ceremony is supposed to symbolize something that's very serious and professional. You're going to enter into the world of, you know, you're going to go out to the job force. You're going to go into corporate America. All the childish stuff that's funny and something you should do within friends should be left out of a professional atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I think that you do need to implement
it. Yeah, but it's like a one-time opportunity. Like, okay, that's a great question. You bring up a very important point. Where is the line between throwing the rules by the wayside for the only opportunity it will happen, or playing by the rules at all times? Like, there's got to be a line, because this is your only chance.
Well, not only that, though.
You're not coming back to next year's graduation.
I understand what you're saying, Dan. Absolutely, you know, you're graduating, you're going into the professional workforce. But you just busted your ass for 4 to 6 years. You get one day to act like a damn idiot.
And you're going to choose your graduation to do that?
Right, but it's for a quick selfie, because a selfie with the crowd behind you. Like, there is no other moment where this will happen.
There's parties that you can do selfies at. There's stuff that you can do social engagements.
But the point of the selfie,
serious ceremony.
But the point of the selfie, in some cases, is not so much the person that they're taking the picture. I know they call it the selfie, but it's the moment that they're in.
Right.
It's the idea of all the caps and gowns on the stage at graduation, and you're clicking, so you got the background image that is unique.
You can do it. Like, here's my deal. If you want to do that while you're sitting around, that's fine. But when it comes time to pass those diplomas out, which is a traditional ceremony, you do not need to act like an idiot. You need to go get it. You need to act like you have some dignity. And a selfie is one of the stupidest forms of expression. If you're drunk or you're doing what in a casual in a surrounding, then yeah. At your graduation ceremony, no. And I know you've worked your butt off, but why would you work your butt off to be an idiot? No one's life is going to be incomplete because they don't do a selfie.
At this point, I feel like Dan just hates the world.
No,
at all times,
I just don't like this is my
he
thing.
Doesn't like sluts. My he one, doesn't like selfies.
Who? I mean, I didn't say I didn't like sluts, but no. This is my problem with the youth of today. Like, you should have some pride and dignity just because you should have it. And apparently, kids were not raised right, or were told that it was okay to do stupid stuff, and that they don't have to carry themselves serious. So now they're starting to do these silly expressions, and they're trying to legitimize them when it's nothing more than a silly expression. You know, like, it's a rude gesture to pick up your phone and take a selfie when you're on the stage and everyone else is waiting. And they bring up a good point. When one idiot does it, you know the rest of the idiots are going to do it, and you're going to dance
across
the
stage. And it's going to take 10 hours.
Yeah.
I get it.
No, you go get your diploma and do it like everyone else has done it, because you're no better than anyone else who's done it. Enjoy your diploma, because that's what you're going to remember, is getting that diploma, earning that, doing all the discipline, like just having the discipline, doing your studies. I think it's going to downgrade what you've accomplished if
you do
something stupid.
But I think that there's a moment, there's moments in life where there's just that opportunity only at that time. And I'm not sitting there saying that every single person in the crowd is going to do it, or every person in the crowd should do it. What I'm saying is if a person does choose to do it, okay, I'm not going to sit there and withhold their diploma from them. I'm not going to sit there, like, if you're at WrestleMania and you happen to have really great seats and there's a moment where, like, Triple H is punching Randy Orton in the forehead right below you, and you turn around and you do the selfie thing. You know, like,
yeah, but look at the two examples you just gave. One is an entertainment event. The other one is your graduation from college. There's a lot more prestige universally for one than there is for the other. You're at a wrestling show. There's two guys pretending to beat each other
up.
Question.
What if it was?
It's not pretend.
Let me present you. Stop it. Let me present you with a unique situation.
Okay.
What if it was a situation where, like, President or Vice President Joe Biden or Barack Obama, the President of the United States, happens to be at Harvard? He's handing out the diplomas with the president of the school.
Then I would especially tell you not to do it, because you're going to get shot pulling something out.
Right, but that's a moment that you can't ever recreate. It'll never, and you might never meet Barack Obama again.
Yeah,
like,
you're not going to get the selfie in anyway, so it can't be used as a point. You pull your phone out.
You say that, but that's not totally true.
I dare. You know what? Normally I'd say I don't dare someone to do this because I know they're going to get hurt. But you know what? If you're stupid enough to try it, let's see it, because I want to be entertained by the news footage. Go ahead. If the president is there, pull something out of your pocket and see what happens to you. And then when they, like, beat the crap out of you, I want to see you go on the news and actually try to legitimately tell me that you were wronged.
That goes back to our story last episode of the show, where we were talking about the guy with the police officers and going past the crime scenes. And they're just arguing about it. We're like, you know what? Go ahead.
Do
tonight,
it.
Right now, without any of that. You have all your freedoms and your rights and your don't tread on me Phil dynasties and all that. Guess what? Get in your car and just start following a police officer. Let us know how it goes.
And you got to remember, this is a university. Okay, they have the right to protect their reputation. And when you go out into the workforce with
Dan
their degree,
Dan is going to be the best. He is so perfect. Listen to
him.
Well,
I'm just saying, you're representing not only yourself, you're representing the institution in which you got your education from.
True.
So it is their right to say at our ceremonies, no, you will not do this. And here's the thing: if you really believe in it, then you're willing to take the punishment for it. You know what I mean? Mahatma Gandhi stood for something and he got beat up for it. So if you really believe in selfies, do it, and then don't get your degree. I'll take you more serious on that.
I'm just going to run up to a random graduation and take a selfie.
Well, you're not going to get the punishment. It's one of those where it's just, I think it's silly that this is even brought up as a point. And I think it's silly that there actually are idiots that would do it. And if one does it, you know they're all going to, and it's going to get ridiculous.
I still stand by my belief that there are moments, though, where, like, they can't be recreated, and you have to take advantage of them.
How many selfies? You said it yourself. This is peak selfiness. People did it before, and they were fine.
That's
why
true.
Would they didn't do it? You know, everyone graduated without doing a selfie. You don't have to do a selfie. That's the thing. You don't have to bring something
stupid and trendful into
something serious.
What if you were wearing a karate gi and Ralph Macchio was at a Comic-Con, no one was in his line, and you just ran up, and you, without paying for a picture with him, you decided to just pull the selfie out and click it real quick because it's your chance.
Well, I mean, Comic-Con is not really a very prestigious, serious event.
Yeah, but he's trying to sell pictures.
Fantasy.
It absolutely is.
It's fantasy.
The only fantasies me and Bobby know about are sexual fantasies.
Stop it. All right, you sick bastards.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the queue. And when we come back, more with myself, the Polar Vortex, not the king of all media, Dan Walsh.
As well, you're going to argue with Bobby about that. And now Mark. Mark, with the British accent, said it's true. So it's now kind of concrete.
Yeah, but I was called the king of talk radio by Jim Jefferies. And, like, I don't go around. Never mind.
Yeah, but we never tell you you're not. We let you say that.
Fair
enough. Let me live my fantasy.
You'll get your fantasy. Your fantasy is in full tech. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the queue right after this.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. Call 1-800-975-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-800-975-MYTV right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. 1-800-975-MYTV.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland, Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby. You're listening to us on 1280 AM KYRO 1420 WINI. And having a little fun today. We just got done talking to Mark Sutherland with the Spirit of St. Louis Air Show, which is going to be happening May 3rd and 4th. As well as we still are working on this 5K situation, the Roller Coaster Race 5K. You can go to rollercoasterrace.com for more information. But Dan Walsh, he has refused. I mean,
by the way,
we talked about this before he even got here.
King,
like,
of all
very,
media, Dan Walsh.
Very Navy, very Air Force of him to just be scared of the Superman ride. That's all I'm saying. I don't know,
Dan,
what
I'm your
to
friend.
Say.
Dan, I'm your friend. I didn't say that.
I'm not scared of it. I just don't want to ride it.
Yeah, you're a chicken.
I'm just
cool,
you know,
dude. No big deal, man.
I also don't want to, like, walk through a fire.
Okay. Fair enough. No, that makes sense.
I just don't feel like it. I don't want the flu, and I also don't want an ear infection.
Does that's
that mean
intelligent.
I'm scared of them.
Those are good ideas
I
to not have those things.
I just choose to do things to prevent those. There's certain, the way it is, there's certain rides that people like, and there's certain rides people don't like. I wouldn't get any joy out of riding it, even if I experienced it for what it was supposed to be.
Hey,
so
could
I
you
just
get,
choose not to.
Could you get those and give those to Dan real quick?
My balls.
There it is.
It doesn't
there.
Matter.
No,
still the king of all media.
I'll ride roller coasters. I'll do the bungee jumping. I'll do all that stuff. I don't. There's something about that ride.
Will
I don't
you
like
hang
it.
Out with Mark and Bobby an entire day at Six Flags?
That's challenging enough. And yes, I will.
I
all
just
right,
want to share
enough.
My turkey leg with you, Dan.
And you know what? And I say
Dan's
that.
Dan's going to buy you a turkey leg. He's going to literally just out of nowhere walk up to one of those things, buy one, and just slam it into your chest. And be like, eat.
I'm going to be like, and then let me watch it. No, there's just, I mean, dude, like,
I
honestly,
just feel
it,
how long it takes.
With that ride, like, when it came out, it was like, all right, it's going to bring you up, it's going to drop you. It's going to be like the Rush Street Flyer that they have there.
Ooh, right.
Then, like, when that stuff happened with that little girl and her feet got cut off, I don't care if it was in St. Louis or not, I was like, there's something all about that ride when it went up. I was like, I don't feel safe on it. Like, I think the contraption itself is going to have another issue in the future. And that's why I just don't feel really, I don't really want to ride it. It's kind of like getting on, like, would you go up a crickety ladder? If you know what I mean, you're just not.
It's okay. The king of all media.
Only if I had a really super nice ref to hold it for me for 2 minutes straight.
No, like, I like roller coasters. I haven't rode anything in so long. So, like, honestly, I'm probably going to, like, ride something that spins around in circles and throw up. So,
well, speaking of dangerous things, gentlemen, it's not a question of if a killer asteroid will strike our planet, devastating at the very least a city.
It's when.
And most the entire race. But it's just a question of how soon. The current consensus, it won't be too long from now. A new study by a group called B612 Foundation, a group dedicated to fighting the asteroid menace, the, of course, massive asteroid menace that we've been dealing with. Dan, of course, called me the other night. He's like, Mark, are you watching Raw? I'm like, no. And he's like, there's an asteroid menace, and I was just thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, of all things, I'm like, listen, we got to get rid of crime and these damn asteroids.
Well, its leadership includes real-life astronauts and scientists, so let's take them as reasonably as we can. They find that a relatively large asteroid strike the Earth with a pretty high frequency. Since 2000, Earth-based sensors have detected 26 asteroid explosions at least as powerful as a nuclear bomb.
Whoa!
None of them have landed upon our heads yet, but the group's exploitation of how often really, really big and bad asteroids hit our planet is kind of scary. This is from USA Today. None of the 26 asteroids in Brown's data was big enough to destroy a city because of their size and composition and because all exploded high in the atmosphere. But Lou says the database of harmless asteroids can be extrapolated to the shed light on the frequency of their fearsome cousins. The results suggest that a city killer strike once a century, though Lou says he wouldn't be surprised if the true rate were actually less worrisome, perhaps once every 150 to 200 years, or still less frequent. Scientists quoted in the story say the data is somewhat scarce and concluded that asteroids that can actually wipe a city off the face of the Earth strikes us with the frequency of once every somewhere between 100 and 1,000 years.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good window.
I like Dan's face the whole time you read that. Dan's just like,
why are you telling me this?
Are you for real?
No, man. You guys want to hear a really, like, really interesting theory of mine?
Sure.
All right. So I actually am one that thinks that when everyone's worried about these moons and all this stuff and, like, all this post-apocalyptic biblical stuff, like, I'm saying it's going to be an asteroid. Because when that thing happened in, like, upper Russia and, like, nobody even knew anything that it was coming in, and I mean, it blew out people's windows, sent people to the hospital. I mean,
oh, it was blinding on the videos. Yeah.
Yeah, it was strong enough. And, like, this is my theory that, like, I was telling my dad about. And I don't know. I mean, it's just something that I kind of pondered, and maybe it was just me overthinking. But we've had this huge surge in doomsday preppers over the last 10 years, right?
Yes, right. So massively.
There's all these companies. There's all these that have these prefabricated bomb shelters and all this stuff that's been going into use. I think something huge was supposed to happen about 20 years ago. And they actually, the people that were allowed to know about it, started making all this stuff in preparation for it and leaving the rest of us in the dark not to cause hysteria.
Okay.
Once the threat passed and it didn't happen, they have all these things and they have nothing to do with it.
So lots now of purple they, Kool-Aid so and now they, Dope Man Nikes. Yeah, I get
they,
it.
They imply that there's this doomsday thing coming so that they can sell prefabricated bomb shelters and all the stuff that they never
do
used
remember
before.
Us? Guys, we all grew up around the same time period throughout the 80s. The way that we argue and complain about politics, the way that we go into depth about conspiracies and ghosts and things, I don't ever remember growing up. Now, trust me, TV is a lot different. When we were growing up, when we were kids, you know, you had the hand-turned dial. There was only like 7 stations total, and you got what you got from them, and most of the time it was like Roseanne. Okay, I get it. All right? So now we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of TV stations you can jump to at any moment to watch doomsday preppers and ghost hunters and the thises and the thats and the, you know, all these just really weird, odd situations. And
right.
We just talk about it so much more now. Like, yeah. Think about this. I was thinking about this the other day when I was driving around. I popped on a couple of other radio stations in the market. I was listening to some of the stuff, and they were going on and on about the Constitution of the United States of America. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't even remember people bringing up the Constitution as if it was a big deal or something that needed to be focused on after 9/11. I'm talking about 2002. Nobody was sitting there going, don't tread on me, the Constitution, you're trying to take a... Every day there's a new story about someone trying to take someone else's constitutional rights away from them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't remember any of those discussions in high school. throughout the up. Nobody ever in my high school was like, "So you coming over to the you coming to the prom tonight?" No, because they're trying to take my constitutional rights to bring who I want to it. Like, you never heard that stuff.
Right. Like, well, I remember also too, like when the whole waterboarding situation happened. They were trying to put constitutional rights on all the people that we were waterboarding.
When they're not citizens.
When they're not even citizens of the U.S.
And here's the thing, man, on my stance on that. I'm not saying it's a glorious thing, but they waterboard people in our military so that they know what it feels like.
And it sucks.
So, and it's not great. I'm not okaying that we should
do it. Were you waterboarded?
I was never waterboarded. I've talked to guys who was waterboarding, and the guy straight up said, if you want to get anything out of somebody, waterboard them. Because he was like, when it happened to me, I told people everything. Like, it's just one of those where...
told them things they didn't need to know.
It's a scary thing. And the way they do it to affect that you don't take the water into the lungs and die from it. And it's only supposed to be used... A, the military is supposed to be used or get ready for that to be done to them. But number two, they're only doing it... I mean, and I don't work for them, but... It's always said to only be used in very drastic times, like where they absolutely
need information.
That there is something going on, and there are thousands upon maybe millions of lives at stake, and they have to last measure hope to scare this person into just when their brain's rebooting to just get the raw truth to come out. So,
right.
I don't. I mean, Jesse Ventura really surprised me when he spoke out against it. Him being the Navy SEAL, and I actually like a lot of people don't like Jesse Ventura, but I really hold a lot to what he says because this is a guy who's walked the walk.
Yeah,
while he talks
enough.
The talk, so like I listen to him, and like sometimes he says things that people don't like, but like when I look at him, I'm like, this is a dude who's speaking the truth. Like he's not hiding anything. Like he's just telling you, and it, for better or for worse, dude, if you like it, you do. You don't, you don't. And I always felt like he was honest. So I mean, I don't know. I think back onto the subject we were talking about, like I do truly kind of believe this, and it's from. And this sounds silly, but like we were talking about like the asteroids and stuff.
Right, yeah.
And I was kind of saying how I kind of thought that maybe there's a possibility that something very dangerous was going to happen and it passed. And that's why all this stuff now has turned into a trend.
Okay.
Because they have to market it. Because
they got to make their money back.
But yeah, but also look at the two movies, Armageddon and Deep Impact, that came out.
Same year.
Now they had, and I know this could be a case of just a leaked script or whatever, but the fact that these ideas of how they would take care of the asteroid were so similar, you just had one case where it didn't work.
Well, that happens quite often. What happens in Hollywood quite often, and because Tony Cabral, who's a friend of the show, DGA director himself, he's explained, you know, what'll happen is a person will have a script. They'll have the script. They'll send it off to somebody who's a friend of theirs who happens to be a showrunner or whatever like that, who's connected to somebody big. They'll send it up to somebody. It'll sit on that person's desk. They won't touch it for a long time until they get into a point where, like, people are getting on them, so they have to turn around and maybe look through some stuff to see if there's any bones there whatsoever. Well, by this point, a year or two has passed. That person's already shot that script off to a few other people, and what'll happen is that the head of this studio will like green light the script. And what'll happen is because they're all friends and they know each other, they'll be like, "Oh, well, I've got a script very similar to that. Oh, it might be that same script." And then they'll get their team on it. The team will rewrite the script to something different.
Yeah.
They'll green light it immediately because they don't. It's the old adage of, like, my gas adage. The idea of what used to be, if this guy was selling gas for a dollar, I'm going to sell it for 95 cents because I want more people here. But in 2014 and nowadays, it's, oh, you're selling it for $1.05 and I'm selling it for a dollar? You're not going to make 5 cents more than me. I'm going to make it equal. So that's exactly what they did.
Yes, and I agree with you to that point, but this is also what I believe. When you saw another surge of post-apocalyptic movies, they usually come after world events that either almost or didn't happen. So all the bomb scares, the communist scares, all that stuff happened, and then all of a sudden you got the influx of movies about bombs being dropped.
Totally,
and all this
stuff. Totally, so truthful with Halley's Comet too.
Yeah.
Halley's Comet
so
came.
I think something happened that because it, I mean, yeah, there was the comet net, but like all this stuff began at one point in the 90s, and it has not laid off since. And I'm not saying that we're in danger right now, and I'm not saying maybe it was even that close. But if you remember, there was supposed to be an asteroid that was going to hit in like 2001. But it wound up passing us, and you could see it from a distance. It wasn't Halley. It was another one, too.
Right.
But, like, something had happened, and it scared people enough that not only did they make the movies and stuff like that, but I understand the script being linked to each other, but then all of a sudden now there's just all these doomsday this, doomsday that.
Right.
Like, and I'm thinking that people will turn anything, and they have to make money off of it. So they had all these things sitting there, because why all of a sudden, if there wasn't something that sparked it, for someone to be like, you know what, we're all just going to get into making prefabricated bomb shelters. Like, I think at some point that they thought it may have been a possibility. They built all these things for to house certain people. It didn't happen. So then they're like, man, we got them all in our, well, let's sell them. Okay, well, here's what we'll do. We'll create this hysteria, and then we'll sell them all off, man, because we got to make money. I do believe that people do have that insight on the media and on the movies. And I'm not saying it is or isn't. I don't really – I'm not like a conspiracy theorist. But when I was thinking about that, I kind of laughed. I'm like, it did come out of nowhere. It stays pretty strong. Maybe something happened, and then that's why the movie started shooting out. They have another movie about asteroids, Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. You know, like it's a constant theme.
You know what's really weird? We were talking about movies earlier in the show before you got here, Dan, and one thing that does kind of irk me is, if you ever notice, whenever like massive real-life events happen, like the Waco, Texas ranch situation with David Koresh, or Columbine itself, nobody ever makes a move like... They did United 93, the flight movie after 9/11.
Yeah, they did the World Trade Center,
and it was a really popular movie. It actually,
have you seen it?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I liked it.
There's
liked
United
it.
93. There's Flight 93. There's
when
World
they
Trade
found
Center.
Osama bin Laden. They did the movie that
Seal
just,
Team Six, as
no,
well
no,
as
no, the one that just came out, the one that Academy Award.
Zero Dark Thirty.
Zero Dark Thirty. My point is, but they never do the movies that I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see the movie about the Columbine kids,
well,
okay?
They're scared of massive.
I want to see the, like, high-end, like, what's his name who did JFK and all that? Who's the guy?
Oliver Stone.
Oliver Stone. I want to see the Oliver Stone version of the Waco David Koresh situation.
I think they'll do that. I think what they're scared of is that putting that movie out and glorifying it is going to spawn a bunch of people to do something like that. Because think of it this way, all right? We were talking about like other movies that were made off, like United 93 and
World Trade Center, yeah. Flight 93.
Okay. For someone to get inspired by that, they would actually have to plot to destroy the World Trade Center and all that. That's going to be a little bit less likely after it happened because security jacked them. But for a kid to see a movie about two kids in Columbine, for that to restart children who want attention to start doing stuff like that, I think that they're a little scared that
oh,
will
I'm sure.
But
see,
glorify
here's
something
the
they
problem
would do.
With that, though. It's not. It's making a movie about it, but it's the crap. It's still happening.
I know.
Like, it's still happening, so why can't we make a movie so that parents can sit there and get someone who's an expert? Like, you're not going to put some idiot out there, so going through their brain, they're going to do this and this. No, you're going to go get a real psychologist who's going to sit there, make it some sort of educational movie, which is kind of what happened with Flight 93 and those things.
Yeah, but Flight 93... was glorified to a point where no one knew what happened on that plane. They had little bits
and
pieces.
No one knows. It's a conspiracy. There wasn't even anybody on that plane. There was no damn plane that was even there.
How do you know that?
Because where the hell are the parts for it?
I saw the crash footage myself.
There is no crash
Bobby,
footage.
I saw it.
Not
how can
flight,
you say it didn't
not,
exist?
Wait.
You
not
saw crash footage
no flight
of
footage.
The Pentagon.
No, yeah. The one in the middle of the field.
Where?
Are you talking about, like, post-crash, like, footage of them?
When it all happened, they showed the one at the Pentagon. They, showed 9/11. Then they showed the empty field with a tree line by it.
Right,
and there
right,
was
right.
Stuff all over
yes,
the place.
Yes.
There was a giant freaking hole.
I think he was confused as you were saying that you saw footage of the actual crash.
Yeah, well, there's no one around to film something crashing into an empty field.
Yeah, correct. But here's the thing, Dan. What I'm saying is when a plane crashes somewhere, you're going to have at least some part. They haven't found a damn thing.
Okay, this is another thing that I'm going to disagree with you and everyone else that I hear that are conspiracy theories. They do have it.
Where?
What? Bobby, the officials have it. They filmed it. It's not this. And then everyone's like, oh, they don't have this. Yes, they do. They showed it just like they showed everything else. For you to be like, all right, you know what? Where did it crash? Where's the plane pieces that crashed into the Pentagon? They blew the Pentagon up on its own. You could say that too, even though they have it. It's the same premise. They did find it. They have the pieces. No one's ever denied that there isn't pieces. The only people that say there are no pieces are conspiracy theorists.
Now, Bobby is a reputed conspiracy theorist. We've talked about Sandy Hook on the show and stuff like that.
Didn't happen.
Round two, go.
But when
Sandy Hook didn't happen.
See, I don't know about
stop,
Sandy Hook.
Sandy
but
Hook
this 9/11 one is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Damn. When people say it, it's like everything they say, I'm not even an expert
let's
in all
hear
this stuff, and I can pull
hold
it apart.
On, okay. Let's hear Bobby's theory on this. Go.
Okay, even the situation with the Pentagon.
Yes.
You have a 26-foot-high tail wing. Doesn't create an impact zone. All you see at the Pentagon is a hole and not even a 20 or a 62-foot wingspan.
So what do you believe happened?
Bobby.
It was a some sort of missile or something that hit that building. There's no way a plane.
Dan, were you first manning off, a missile?
Missiles would have continuous burn, so it would have a larger area of destruction.
All right.
Because they actually have explosives in them.
Right.
Number two, how many times have you done studies on what planes do when they hit the Pentagon? Have you seen any results firsthand?
No one. But here's the thing.
No, and there you go.
But you've seen how a plane crashes into other buildings.
Have you?
Well, it's okay. No, hold on. Okay, I will defend Bobby on this point. It's okay to have a theory.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that because my theory is most conservatives, if not all of them, are total D-bags. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's my theory. I haven't met many conservative voting Americans that are honest, decent human beings that actually look out for others. Now, they'll look out for other conservatives. As long as they know they're conservative, they'll take care of them. But anybody else, you're my enemy immediately. You don't get that on the liberal side. Now, that's just a theory that I have. So I can understand theories. What's your theory, Dan?
Here's the thing. You saw the planes crash into the building. You saw that.
Yes.
And then, I'm sorry, this huge thing that you say, you're watching a plane crash and it takes out, what, 8 floors? 8-9 floors, maybe?
In the Pentagon?
World Trade Center.
In the World Trade Center, it took out more. Now, here's
that gap on that building that it hit is very similar to the one on the Pentagon.
No.
Yes, it is.
No.
You're just voicing your opinion. Look at the two. It would have destroyed the entire top part of the World Trade Center. Completely obliterated it. Pentagon is going to the World Trade Center.
Pentagon is different than the World Trade Center. I do believe planes crash into the World Trade Center.
Of course, you have no choice. You saw the video footage.
It's different, but what I'm saying is the crash, the footage we do have of a plane going in, doesn't make this humongous impact that you're claiming would happen on
the
Pentagon.
How about this?
So the evidence that's physical is going against what you're saying.
I'm going to go down this road. Hold on, guys. I'm going to go down this road. I think that when mass tragedies of this nature and this size happen, I don't think any of us are just mentally prepared to deal with it. It's literally like when the Crusades happened back, you know, and they were killing people off because of their religious beliefs of Christianity and stuff like that. People were not prepared. People were not prepared for the idea that, yes, some local yokel idiot from the South is going to come up here with his two 14-year-old sons because there was no age limit, and they're going to shoot at us because of slavery and call it the Civil War. We don't understand. And then you see people die right outside your house in the middle of the mountains, and you see 10 bodies laying there, and some are Confederate and some are American, you know, some are not Confederate, the other thing. The Union. But
yes.
My point is, you see that, it's a mind mess up because literally you are not prepared to handle those kinds of things because you never see them.
But here's the other thing. With like you mentioned the Sandy Hook situation. You mentioned Sandy Hook. Here's where I have a problem with that situation. How in the hell does the one person in the whole world just happen to be in Connecticut as well as at the Boston Marathon when the damn bomb goes off? They interviewed the same lady. Same name, same everything.
It's been confirmed that is the exact same lady.
Yes, same lady. Just happened to be in Connecticut whenever there's a shooting, and then down in Boston.
Well,
now they're not that far away.
But it just happens to be those 2 days, and CNN and all these other people just happened to pick her up.
Yeah, but how many people they probably
saw?
Yeah, and they probably saw her.
Maybe she likes running. She could like running.
Now, here's the other thing. Medical examiner, when he turned around and announced the deaths of the kids, he announced that the kids were killed from a long weapon, meaning a shotgun or a rifle. Okay? Now, when you turn around and get the police report says that they were killed with a 9mm handgun, and the rifle and the shotgun were found in the trunk away from the guy that was doing the killing. So how the hell are they shot and killed with a rifle or some sort of long weapon when it's not even there?
But Bobby, you just took human opinion. They gauged their opinion because first off, you can't say a shotgun or a rifle because they have two completely different impacts, two completely different ways of firing. As far as the logistics, like specialization, like the coroner he's used to shots, he's used to all that stuff, but he is not a logistics expert. So he can say what he thinks it is, and so can the police officer. These guys are both doing reports off of their human experiences. It wasn't determined by a machine that says one thing, then a machine that says something the next. It's two human opinions. And humans make errors. And they could, one of them could have erred, and the other one could have been dead on. Both of them could have been, you know, a little bit off. You're taking human error in there. You can't like use that as a direct science.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are having one hell of a lively conversation here between myself, producer Bobby, and Dan Walsh on The Q. Make sure you check out theqnow.com, the website, for old episodes where you can find a little bit of a scrapping going on like what's going on right now. But we're going to take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, we are going to definitely be doing Game On, Game Off this week, as well as we've got some other stories about the Supreme Court. We will be back on The Q after this. I wanna make it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q, of course. Mark Bland joined today, as always, by producer Bobby, Dan Walsh, and we have a special individual who has decided to jump in on the radio with us, a legend when it comes to the voiceover game in the United States of America. This man, we are blessed to have at our sister station, which is 100.7 The Viper. And I think it's Viper Rocks, The Viper Rocks, or is it?
ViperRocks.com.
ViperRocks.com. His name is Fish. What's up, Fish?
Fish, I thought you forgot for a minute.
No, I didn't forget, man. It's just paused. Fish. You
he
know what
just
I'm saying?
That dramatic pause.
Fish, how you been, man?
Hey, good.
We've been really blessed to be allowed to come on to Fish and DC show. We had DC earlier on the show for just a few minutes, and you know, promote The Q, and they've been very, very, very nice to us. And I feel that it's just great to have guys of their status who are willing to listen to The Q and play along with us. And thank you so much. We appreciate you jumping in with us.
Every time you say The Q, I think of the station I used to work at back in the early 90s. I used to do overnights there.
That was kind of the point of why I created the word The Q. Like,
did that have to do with that? I know The Q is not even it's C-U-E, right? Or Q-U-E.
No, it's just the letter Q.
It's just the letter Q, but it means like something's in Q, like the internet.
Like the internet, BitTorrent. If you don't know what BitTorrent is, ladies and gentlemen, maybe we'll hit you to something, which, by the way, don't forget, we got Game On, Game Off coming up at the end of this segment. Basically, BitTorrent is the way to illegally download video games and all kinds of stuff like that. Well, they have a Q section for, and what happens is you choose what you want to download illegally or whatever. And I'm not afraid to talk about this on FCC airways. I'm sorry, I'm not. Put it out there, and basically, it'll have, once this one's done downloading, it'll download the next thing you wanted. And basically, you only put cool thing you want to hear into the queue. But I also used to be an intern at Q106.5 back in the day.
I don't know how I was only there late at night, overnight. You probably heard stories about me. I got fired, actually, for having a party up in there.
You had a party up in there.
No way.
See, that's
explain
so
to us.
Right
okay,
there,
explain.
Man.
Okay, all right. First off, how old are you at the time?
I'm 20 years old.
You're 20 years old. Young guy.
Yeah.
And what kind of party did we have?
I had a party, and I wound up meeting a psycho chick, and she wound up staying. She'd come back to Illinois with me, and. Anyway, long story. She tried to jump out of the car when I would bring her home, and that was a psycho thing. But it was a big party with a bunch of girls.
I had a friend of mine jump out of the back of a Jeep in the middle of a summer night drunk off his butt at 2 o'clock in the morning. Right. He decided to just head dive off. Now, they were only doing 25 miles an hour, but I still thought it was kind of
insane.
Sometimes
insane.
You just got to jump out of a moving car.
Sometimes you do.
Or a moving RV.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. So tell us a little bit about what you guys do over there on Fish and DC Show.
Okay, on the Fish and DC Show, we just do a lot of nonsense. You know, we prank call people, we talk about topical stuff, but we put our own twist on it, and we're real. The main things, we're real. We don't get these companies that do a bunch of staged things and fake commercials and things like that. Or parody songs. We believe in talking to the listeners and being too much information.
Now, we actually had the chance back in October, if you remember, Bobby, we had a chance to go with Fish and DC on their first Halloween show. Now, me and Bobby had a great time, and we really appreciate you taking us out with you, but we've got to go bigger and better this year. We want to do the Halloween, you guys, but we've got to find a really scary place. Like, we've got to get seriously freaky.
I think we should do Fulton during the day.
Like the institution.
We should all just go into the prison and then just live there for a day and then just tell all the security guards to just take a break. I think if you really want to get dangerous
just take a break.
Scary,
we don't need you.
That's about the scariest scenario I could ever imagine being in.
I've never done jail time, but I bet you're right.
Not that far from where you're from, I believe, is is a medium security.
No, I think it's max, Marion Federal.
Maximum security prison.
I know somebody who works at Marion, actually.
Oh, really?
That's great. That, well, ooh, excuse me. Wow, where did that come from? Ouch. Anyway, you've been in radio for, what, about 25, 30
I don't know
years
how long,
almost?
Something like that, or since I was, well, I was, I paid my, I was talking about earlier, we were talking about how to get into radio and stuff, and people pay people to learn how to be in radio.
Sure, sure.
Just go help somebody work for free, but don't pay for it. I started hanging around radio stations when I was about 7 or 8, and then I started having my own pirate station at my house, and then when I was 14, got a job at a real radio station, and then wound up in St. Louis at 20.
Fair enough.
Was the movie Pump Up the Volume starring Christian Slater really about you?
That was close to it, and that was during that time. That was out during that time. It was,
so tell us some of your, like, what's the craziest, I mean, aside from the party that gets you fired or whatever, like, what's some of the weirdest or most interesting things that have happened to you while you've been a jock?
A guy gave me a Z28 Camaro.
Are you, really?
No.
Just Whoa. Gave it to you?
The radio. What? I own a radio station. My lifetime goal was to own a radio station. I wound up buying the radio station that I started at when I was 14.
Okay.
That station then was a gospel station.
All right.
That let me play some Christian rock on Friday nights, like Striper and stuff like that.
Striper.
So, wow. Dude was in a trailer park about a mile away tuning around the radio, thought he had the rock station. Somehow he wound up on AM and on my little Christian rock show. And he said, I got delivered from drugs. I'm bringing you a Z28 Camaro car. It was a 78, and the year was like 86, 87, so, you know, it was kind of older.
But you got a car.
Nice.
Like, he just gave you a free car.
I went out to the parking lot, and there it was, and everything was in the glove box, you know, the keys and the registration.
Wow.
We tried to take it back to him because we saw where he lived on the thing. My mom said, this is not real. And the dude would not take it back, and he went into rehab, and I've never heard anything else from him since.
Wow, man. Now, you've had to have seen some crazy things happen. I mean, you've been around a lot of morning shows, afternoon shows, stations in general. Like, what's the craziest thing you've ever seen go down at a station while you were there? And you might not even have been involved directly, man.
I don't know, man.
There's just so many things.
I mean, a lot of stuff happened with Clear Channel in Cincinnati. We had a lot of fun there, and a lot of craziness went on, and...
How many markets have you been in?
Syndicated? I don't even know.
Really?
50, 60?
Wow, dude.
Like, syndicated. I mean, that's just syndicated, like voice tracked and syndicated as far as...
But we all know that in radio, like, there's... As you're coming up in the business, you're probably going to move around a lot. Like, there's... You're going to go for... So, did it ever get to you, the moving? Like, did it ever get sick of it?
Not terribly.
You just enjoyed the fact that you were doing radio no matter where you were at. That's cool, man.
Nice.
That's really cool.
Like, and I bounce back and forth between, you know, decent markets and smaller markets, just wherever the money's good. Sometimes money's better in the smaller markets. I appreciate you more.
What was your favorite place to be at? I know you just mentioned Cincinnati, but what was your favorite place?
Well, here or Cincinnati?
St. Louis or Cincinnati?
Yeah, they were good. I hated Delaware.
Delaware. You were down in Delaware.
Why would you hate such a hotbed of activity like Delaware?
Now, what were you doing up in Delaware? Like, obviously, a radio show, but, like, what was so bad about Delaware? Like, I mean, it seems like that's the colonial area, right? You know, you would figure, like,
Halloween
looks cool.
Yeah, and nothing has happened since that era.
Right.
All right, fair enough. I think that it's, listen, man, I think it's great that you come on the show and you help us out and you allow us to promote ourselves on your show. And I just wanted to let everybody know that you can listen to Fish in DC every single day, 3 p.m. to 6, or is it 7? 6.
7.
7. 3,
7.
3, to, 3 7. to 7. Central Standard Time at the ViperRocks.com.
Yeah, just ViperRocks.com.
And if for whatever reason you're not able to pick up 100.7, you can also go to TuneIn Radio. The app on your phone, or pick up the live stream at ViperRocks.com. Also, this week, I, special appearance, boom, boom, on the Woods and Water Expedition show with Jason Metzinger. So,
invading a lot of shows,
man. We're just doing all kinds of
stuff.
Dude,
I'm taking over, baby.
Dude, he's getting C-130s with Blue Angels.
I'm flying with Blue Angels.
Oh, wow.
I'm taking over radio shows. I'm doing it big.
You got to quit doing drugs, man. You're flying with Blue Angels.
I know, man.
Well, do you want to sit in for a second and crack wise with us on a story, or do you got to get going?
Well, I'd just like to send a shout-out out to my mom, Jeannie, and thank you for all your support in the radio.
Oh,
because I know she listens to your show. She loves your show.
Well, let's give a big hand for Jeannie. Thank you very much. That's awesome.
Nice. Oh, here, you know what you asked me? I'm still trying to think. There's so many crazy things that happened in radio. I will, this might be an interesting...
Did you get married because of radio?
I proposed to my wife on the radio. And
really?
She said yes, and I met her like at a nightclub gig where I was DJing.
Were you prepared for her to say no, though?
Yeah.
Like, what?
But I didn't know. I mean, I did it all for real.
Were you secretly hoping she would just because it would get better ratings?
No.
Okay. All about ratings,
I didn't
baby.
Know if he was kind of like, listen, if she says no, people are going to feel bad.
You can tell and that guy's been on a reality TV show.
I'm always looking for the horrid twist that's just going to hurt people's feelings.
The horrid twist. Well, thank you so much,
I'm
Jim.
Roll, man. Thank you for letting me be on the show. And I am a fan. I've listened to the show. I heard you last week. Like I said, you did a segment, I think, about racing or something. I don't know. It just sounded great, whatever I heard. That was
2 weeks ago. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about. No big deal. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in, Fish. Have a good day, bud.
Talk hard, Fish.
That's right. Talk hard, Fish.
Pump up the volume. Talk hard.
The United States Supreme Court ruled Tuesday that police can stop and search a driver based solely on an anonymous 911 tip. That's it. A 5-4 decision split the court's two most conservative justices, with Justice Clarence Thomas riding for the majority and Justice Anton Scalia penning the dissent. In August 2008, an anonymous 911 caller in California phoned in a report that a pickup truck had run her off the road. The caller gave the location of the incident, plus the make and model of the truck and the license plate number. Police subsequently pulled over a truck matching the description and smelled marijuana as they were walking toward the vehicle. Officers eventually found 30 pounds of marijuana in the truck and arrested the driver, Jose Navarre. Navarre challenged the search and arrest as unconstitutional, arguing that officers did not have reasonable suspicion to pull them over in the first place because police knew nothing about the identity or reliability of the tipster. The 5-justice court majority disagreed, and in doing so gave police new authority to rely on anonymous tipsters. The court has long held that officers can make stops based on anonymous tips, but the information in those tips must provide enough detail to give rise to a reasonable suspicion of criminal activity. In this case, Thomas, the author of the majority opinion, concluded that because the 9/11 tipster said she had been forced off of the road, she was an eyewitness, and that police could infer that there was reason to believe that truck driver was drunk.
See, that's crazy, because I have actually called 911 before because someone was driving erratically and I was afraid that something was going to happen. So I called 911 to let them know that I was behind this person. I had the license plate number and everything, and they told me they couldn't do anything. There was nothing they could do.
You know, the one thing that always kills me about police, too, and I know we've talked about police a few times on the show over the last few episodes, but the one thing that kills me is private property. If something happens at a restaurant or whatever, they consider it private property. So, like, let's say Dan backs into my car on the parking lot of, like, a Denny's or something like that. I can call the police. When the police get there, they're going to say it's private property. Denny's Incorporated owns this property, and we have no jurisdiction on private property. So they won't even take a police report. And I always thought that's weird, because most insurance companies require a police report if you're going to turn it in. But they won't. They won't
weird.
Do it.
Weird.
That's odd, man. That really is.
This is going to be a big deal, guys. I'm serious. The reason I brought this story up the way I did and when I did is because this is going to change things. Like, people can now just call in and say stuff, and they're going to go after individuals. Now, they might not necessarily find anything, and they might realize the tipster was just being a jerk or whatever like that, but they're still going to take everything as a serious notion at this point.
I think it's going to change to the point where they're going to reverse this.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be enough people who, you know, Johnny, Susie pissed me off across the street, so now they got the 911 call. Hey, I've been following behind them, and they're driving erratically.
I think it's going to be one of those where they're either going to have to pull it back, or they're going to require that it's like numerous calls instead of just one. So, I mean, it's one of these, man, where it honestly, like, the one side of you says, oh, it's great, because if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about. The other side says that, yeah, there's going to be jerks that are going to completely take this. They're going to take it for granted, or take it. I don't even know how to say it. They're going to do stuff. Yeah, they're going to do stuff. So that, and also, man, this one kind of conflicts with, like, all right, I'm a big person on the fact that, like, there's what I wish would happen, and then there's my respect for the Constitution and, like, what people's rights are, even if I don't agree, or even if I have reasons why I don't think that this particular situation warrants that. So, but I always try to take my personal opinions out. Like, for example, I would love the fact that if they made alcohol illegal because of how it's force-fed to kids and now it's made as a rite of passage, and this is what leads to just thousands of DUIs for kids under the age of 20. You know, there's a lot of things that I would want. 25, I would want the drinking age raised to 25. There's a lot of stuff that I would personally want. However, I respect the people's rights who have done nothing wrong and have practiced responsible and know that it's not my place to pass any kind of judgment on those who have do everything right. So I kind of understand that nothing gets done about it.
Well, you're saying that, but the FDA just this past week took back the approval that they gave for powdered alcohol.
Powdered alcohol?
And an update tonight on the headline about powdered alcohol in America. There's a new twist. Federal regulators say they approved the label for powdered alcohol by mistake. Critics worry it's too dangerous for kids. The company says it will keep trying to make it into stores in the United States.
Powdered alcohol.
Powdered alcohol. Really, I didn't even know that it existed.
We need another reason for people to get intoxicated. Like,
no.
What happened to the regular weed? Like, I don't think anybody had a problem and said, you know what? I like being inebriated, but I want something that's quicker and easier. You know what I mean? I think part of the drinking, if you're doing it right, is a socialization. I think if you're not using it for intoxication, then you're okay with it taking, you know, a slower time. You know what I mean? Your goal is not to become completely annihilated.
Fair enough. You're supposed
to do it socially. So I think if you're doing, I think they really need to put a block on things that are going to make it even easier for people to get hammered without knowing and going out on the roads.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to switch gears. It is time for Game On, Game Off here on The Q. Every single week, we hip you to new cool things. We tell you stuff that you need to just stop doing. And who would like to go first this week?
I'll start.
You want to go first, Bobby?
Yes.
All right, do it.
Game On 3D printers.
3D printers.
This stuff is so cool. I can literally sit there and... hey, I want to have a kickstand for my phone. Boom, 3D print it. I want a sculpture of Mark's face to put next to my bed so he's the last thing I see when I go to sleep.
Ooh, that's nice.
Boom, print it, 3D. It's awesome.
All right, fair enough. Game On, 3D printers.
Will
also
he have that awesome stare that we love?
Yes.
Where he looks at you like he's disgusted with you.
Stop.
You can incorporate
that. But I am disgusted. I am disgusted with you.
But then you also go down the dangerous road of the 3D printed guns now and whether those
Correct.
Are legal or not and stuff like that. But we won't get into that. Okay, so Game On, 3D printers. Game Off what?
All right, Game Off is a little controversial, but my Game Off is the gay movement.
The gay movement. Okay, go ahead.
Here's why.
We'll listen to you. Dan is listening intently at this
He's
point.
He's frivolously listening.
Yes.
Okay. I'm very happy that you can let people know that you're gay.
Right.
Okay? No problem with that.
But you don't have a straight sticker on the back of your car?
Well, I don't have a straight sticker, but also I don't make it a point to have a damn press conference every time another straight person comes out and says, hey, we like women. It's fine to say that you're gay. It's perfectly okay. But I don't need
it's to worn, have... It's worn, it's welcome is what you're
I
saying.
I don't need to have a press conference. Kid from University of Massachusetts came out 2 weeks ago that he was gay. They're still talking about him.
Yeah, and I don't understand that, but I agree with you. That's a good Game Off.
I'm gonna agree with you, too. Because this is
I think we're past the welcome is what it is.
It's now, no. Now, and here's the thing, and this is always my problem with affirmative action whenever people... Whenever the African-American population wanted to be seen as equals and Dr. Martin Luther King fought for that, and all he wanted was equality. But then we started doing things that didn't make him equal but would have to, accentuate and put that – you know what I mean? Put them ahead. And,
right, right.
And so, with the homosexuals, yes, you are seen now as equals. And, yes, there is going to always be people, as there's always going to be racist people. You know, I understand that. But if we're going to be equal, if it's going to be a part of normal society, we need to try and implement it in normal society as it's normal. We can't have exceptions to the rule that puts one above the other because then it totally goes over the whole equality thing.
Right.
If you really want, certain rights, then go for those rights. Go say, hey, I think because of I'm this, I should have more rights. Don't say I want equality, but let me get these other added things. So,
right.
I think a lot of it has to be blamed on the media because now they're jumping on the hot ship of people of college stars coming out. And I think if it's going to be seen as equal, we need to treat it as equal and not give rock star status to people that are just being true to themselves and their sexuality.
Dan had a lot to say about gay people. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, I have a lot of gay friends and I love the gay community, but I think even a lot of my friends would say the same thing. They don't like that. They have to be that this rock star status or this celeb status of being gay. It's like, dude, I like dudes. That's it.
All right. My Game On this week is the Wii U. If you have not had a chance to check it out, the Wii U. Yeah, man. The Wii U is actually a lot more cool than you think. playing Mario Brothers in high def, like full out high def, sick to look at. I'm telling you. I know it's childish and the
no,
Wii is
I'll
more
have
gears.
To, I'll have
dude,
to pick it up.
Also, the fact that they've updated the internet browser, so now if you know certain sites, so that like, and I know that this is probably the main reason why I think game on the Wii U. If you know a certain site where you can maybe, you know, catch a pay-per-view or whatever like that, like, it just shows up on your screen. You're good to go. Like, you don't have to, like, have a special computer hooked up or anything like that. It does its thing.
Wow.
So, nice. The Wii U, I'm in on. Plus, it's got a lot of great games like your Assassin's Creed, Batman Arkham Asylum, things like that.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Wii U, game on. Game off, people discarding friendships that are at least 5 years and older. Now, I've got a serious issue with this, okay? If you have been friends with somebody for at least 5 years, there's nothing you haven't discussed or argued about that is so detrimental to your relationship, aside from stealing someone's wife or killing someone, that should break that friendship up. You might not need to hang out every day of the week, but listen, I am really sick of people that go out of their way. And I'm standing up for this. They go out of their way.
He's pretty pumped up.
It got real.
They go out of their way to just not pay attention to their friendships anymore. And it's like they literally go from 100% of a decent friendship to like 35%. And they drop it off. Now, some people get jobs. Some people get busy. Some people get things like this. But I have never had a friend that I didn't at least have enough. Like, Dan, you're a busy dude. We're friends. We're friends. You're a really busy dude between your job and going to school and wrestling and all these other things. You still make time to come to this show, even though the situations that we've dealt with over the last few months, and you know what I'm talking about, but you make time to still come to this show every single week. You don't have to. You could be doing homework. You could be working on like proposals for the job or what. You know what I'm saying? I have... excuse me, guys.
Dude, he's real emotional. I got him sick.
I'm so sick of my friends just not wanting to be my friends anymore.
They're there, sir.
And I'm sorry. Wow. It just really hurts me. And nobody ever wants to hang out anymore with me. And like,
leave Mark alone.
So nobody wants to play with you?
Nobody wants to play with. No one wants to hang out. Like, I call people and I'm like, hey, it's me, Mark. And I'm like, so what do you.
They like, literally
just,
hang up
like,
on
just
you.
They
hang
the phone up on me. And it's really weird. And then I'll send a text message, and then I'll send another five or six, all within about a 2 minute period.
Yeah, you're
and
pretty then, quick on those.
And then I'll send like 10
he's
more.
He's rapid fire when it comes to messages and texts.
So that's my game off this week is respect your friendships, guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, just respect your friendships. That's what I want you to do. Game off, like throwing your friendships by the wayside, especially long term ones. Okay. Now, Dan, we've only got 30 seconds here. Go ahead. Give me your game on, game off.
All right. My game on is a video of a grandma. Like, her granddaughter pulls up to pick her up, and she's on the top of these steps. And then she starts blasting that song, Run Around Sue.
Oh,
and
nice.
The grandma just starts dancing like crazy. Like, she
nice.
Loves this song. So it takes her forever to get down the steps, and she is busting a move. And then the girl will turn it off, and then the grandma will pick up her, and she'll go up to the car, and right when she grabs the handle, she blares it again. The grandma puts the purse down and goes right into dancing again. Dude,
she's
singing
it.
To the song.
She loves it.
It put me in such a good mood to watch. The other one that I'm going to have to do, and this is more for the safety of the ladies, too. I've seen this in a couple instances. Ladies, I know you're emotional and you're mad at a
is
man.
Is this your game off?
Yeah, you're emotional and mad at a man, but you don't have the right to hit him or put your hands in his face. You know what I mean? Like, just because we're not supposed to hit doesn't mean you have the right to hit. And I've seen that happen on a couple occasions. And when the person pushed him back, they actually got mad at them for hitting him when the guy was just pushing them off. I just think it should be, if you don't want to get that done to you, don't do it to others. Just
all
common.
Right. Fair enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Q. We want to thank every single person, including 1280 AM KYRO 1420 WINI, for syndicating the show every single week. Don't forget, we have Carmen coming to the pageant on April 29th. We are giving away tickets at theqnow.com, plus the Roller Coaster 5K. Also, and don't forget, RazorSharpDigital.com, one of the best web development companies out there. If you've got marketing and web that you need done, go to RazorSharpDigital.com. We are going to be doing a Tournament of Pop Culture Part 2. More 90s rock bands, groups, and whatever until we get down to the 64. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to The Q this week. On behalf of myself, Dan Walsh, and producer Bobby, we will see you guys next time on the show.
Dude,
Do you think that I could get some?
Chicky, chicky.
Maybe get a little finger.
Sticky, sticky.
You my electrical lip balm flavor. I got to do you till the next song says.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime. Mark Bland.
Anyway.
As well as the other guys, Dan Walsh and producer Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody is here. And happy? We do not. I mean, I do have one letter from the listener. Do you want to do that, or do we want to just do the Tournament of Pop Culture this week?
How in-depth is the letter?
It's not that in-depth. It's not that in-depth. Let's just do it real quick.
Let's just hear it real
quick.
We won't go off on, like, full-fledged rants on this one.
Okay.
All right. Yeah,
we'll keep
yeah,
it basic
this,
comments.
This isn't one of those ones where it's, like, really, like, over-the-top weird or anything
so
like that.
So we might actually be able to help somebody on this.
I'm a 23-year-old woman, Dr. Dan. I'm a 23-year-old woman, and I've been with my boyfriend for more than 5 years. We have a toddler together. We are best friends, and I love him very much. However, when we got together, I hadn't had many partners, and he'd already been around the block a few times. And now he's just not doing it for me in the bedroom anymore. The things that used to make my toes curl now just make them twitch a little. I think I want to have sex with other people. It's not that I'm not sexually attracted to my boyfriend anymore. I just want something different every once in a while. But I don't want to break up with my boyfriend. I love him and I love our family. I'm just too darn horny. What do I do?
I think everything that she... Honestly, I'm welcome to having a long-term monogamous relationship.
Yeah, like, that's pretty much part of life.
That's what it is. I mean, unless you have a boyfriend that's into freaky stuff and allows, like, to switch partners. And then in that case, you better be ready for him to go out there and get to do his side, too.
It's what happens between me, Dan, and Bobby weekly. I mean, sometimes Dan does Bobby, Bobby does me, and then Bobby switches up and does Dan. And it's just so weird.
Variety is the spice of life.
It is.
And, ménage à trois.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know what, what you're saying is normal. It's normal feelings. You need to assess what's more important, your hormones or your love for your boyfriend and your child.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's do this Tournament of Pop Culture Part 2. 1990s yep. artists and groups. We are trying to find out who was the best group or artist of the 1990s in all genres. I mean, just across the board, period.
Yep.
Point blank. Mm-hmm. Bobby, you have our setup over there.
I have it.
So let's get into this bad boy. Part two of this 90s tournament of pop culture. What do we got up first? What's in the first round?
All right. First two, Britney Spears.
Okay.
Versus the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, now this is going to be tough. I mean, we got two, let's see here. We got two boy bands, basically. I mean, Britney Spears, pop princess, but similar style, like top 40, like sugar pop music, you know.
If you don't remember the Backstreet Boys, because it's been quite a while since I heard a Backstreet song.
Yeah, go ahead and hit them with some Backstreet for a minute. You got something for us? Oh, yeah, that's right. Dan remembers this. He was like sophomore year.
Yeah.
He was getting ready to, the girl's standing off to the side at Hazelwood Central's gym.
Yeah. Dan's face is awesome. He's like, fuck, it was.
I've gotten many a HJ to this song.
Many HJ to this song. That could be a determining factor at this point.
It could be.
If we're going on sweet memories.
Backstreet Boys. Okay, if we're going to break this down properly, I would have to go on a longevity spurt. Like, I would have to say that when it comes right down to it, I think Britney has not only done... She did great back then, just as good as... I mean, Backstreet was huge. Let's not knock these guys.
Right.
They were a very popular, very famous band, but unfortunately, I think that Britney just...
Now they're relegated to cruises.
Has just... She's matured better. I think that she's switched her game up.
I think of that when I think of Britney Spears is how mature she is.
Well, I'm not saying mature.
That's the first thing that comes.
I mean in her musical talent, like how she's changed up her style and became relevant or at least maintained that relevancy. I don't think I see that. I think when you got boy bands like the Backstreet Boys, I think that they're just a dime a dozen. And it's just who happened to get to the top of the barrel that day.
Right.
I think it's just more or less. I think with groups, it's easier on you because they purposely pick a diverse group of gentlemen to hit every single taste and demographic. So when you put them all together, it's going to have something in there for everyone to like, as opposed to a single artist who has to appeal to those masses and kind of find a little bit within themselves to appeal to everybody. So I don't respect Britney Spears' music or her as an artist, but I would say as far as her marketing and her as an individual for marketing herself, much better than the Backstreet Boys.
So if you had to choose, who do you got?
I got Britney.
What about you, Bobo?
Britney
moves on. in the tournament of pop culture. Who do we got next?
Next up, NSYNC.
Okay, all right. By far the most popular boy band of the last 20 years.
Yep. Yeah, and they spawned some stars too. Well, they spawned one star.
Definitely one star.
And a
well,
gay
actually,
dude.
All of them. All of them actually have been extremely successful. You got Joey Fatone, who's extremely successful on Broadway. He's won Tony Awards. You know, you've got Justin Timberlake, obviously, with his pop music
that
career.
That guy's an institution, man.
Like, you have a lot of opportunities right now. Who is NSYNC going up against?
NSYNC is going up against a band that not a lot of people remember, but 98 Degrees.
I think this battle is just done.
That battle was settled when it was happening.
Yeah, I think that this battle is just legitimately no questions asked going into the hands of NSYNC. I think NSYNC has to beat them.
Don't get me wrong. They were bulletproof vests and cargo pants before the shield was, but... I don't think that 98 Degrees stood up to the power of NSYNC.
All right, fair enough.
Okay,
I can't believe I just said that sentence.
So we're going with NSYNC.
We're going with NSYNC. Okay, who's up next?
All right, up next, we've got Snoop Dogg.
Snoopy right. Doggy Doggy Dog.
Snoop Dizzle.
Yep.
And Diddy.
Oh, now this is a tough one. I'm going to have to say that if I'm going to choose between these two, Diddy, as far as like becoming a mogul... And overall, like, finding other artists that became famous and stuff, great. But as far as, like, best artists in the 90s, I've got to go Snoop beating out Diddy.
Yeah,
I think Snoop just destroyed him.
I like Snoop's stuff a lot better than Diddy's stuff, regardless of what they did outside of music. This is best, you know, artists. This isn't best moguls.
Eventually, this person's going to be going up against, potentially, Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
I think that Snoop Dogg is the Garth Brooks of the hip hop community.
Fair enough.
I'm going to be bold and say.
So we're going to say
you're going with Snoop.
Snoop Dogg is moving on in the tournament.
All right. Next up is another big one in the rap game.
Okay.
It is the one and only Tupac Shakur.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He called him by his birth name.
Tupac Shakur
and the notorious one.
Ooh,
Biggie Small.
We're having an East Coast, West Coast battle again.
This could literally be a semifinal or a finale. Like,
one of
that's
us,
a tough one right
one of
there.
Us is going to get shot for what we... Possibly all of us.
All right. I'm going to have to... If I have to choose between these two, I hate to say this, but I'm going to go with Biggie Small.
Biggie.
I'm going Biggie because Biggie was more original with him with his style. Biggie had a lot more, like, everything Tupac did was a sample. Now, rap music is based off samples. I understand that. But everything that Tupac did was legitimately sampled music. No real originals whatsoever in his entire career. On the other hand, Biggie, mostly originals. Really great stuff.
Right.
And I think that it just spoke to more people. I think Tupac had a real niche audience that a lot of people love Tupac, and that niche audience was huge, but I don't think it was everywhere near the crossover that Hypnotize was or some of those other songs.
Right.
I think the fact that he kind of had an Elvis thing going, Tupac did, when he died. People didn't think he was dead. Kind of a deal. He came out with nine. First off, he's the hardest working man in hip-hop because he produced 9 records after he was dead. I mean, that work ethic right there should just really put him above and beyond. But I also like Digital Underground. So that kind of plays some favor to Tupac,
too. The freaks of the industry.
Yeah.
That's who they are.
I mean, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I listened probably to more Tupac than I did Notorious B.I.G.
Okay.
So, and that is why I would choose Tupac. But didn't do enough research on the B.I.G. side.
All right. Fair enough. So, B.I.G. moving on.
B.I.G.
B.I.G.'s moving on. Who's up next there, Babo?
Next, Jennifer Lopez and Creed.
Oh, now this is going to be a tough battle right here. A lot of people are not going to give Jennifer Lopez the respect she deserves. Jennifer LeBlanc, really, really strong. And there's a lot against Creed. A lot of people, like, Creed's first album, fantastic.
My Own Prison
is a great song. Good. Their second album was more popular and literally sold more in the long run. But I think that when it comes right down to 90s, I don't know, man. It's almost like it's a battle of B minuses.
I would say that they were so late in the 90s that, like, yeah, I'm going to go with Jennifer Lopez just on the fact that Jennifer Lopez really worked her way up. starting as a backup dancer for In Living Color.
What over this, though?
Yeah,
you would take J-Lo over.
I didn't like the song when it first came out.
Open.
I mean, that's a great song.
That literally reinforced my pick to be Jennifer Lopez.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess.
I like hard-nosed work ethic, and that girl came up.
Okay, when it comes to 90s, though, I think Creed is more identified with the 90s than J-Lo is. I think J-Lo has multiple things within the 90s.
But I'm going to say, and maybe this isn't all to music, but I mean, she was in movies. Like I said, she was a backup dancer on a successful sketch comedy show. And then she started doing her own music. So I think
Based upon music.
All right, but I'm saying like I don't know. I would say, I don't really think any of them.
I guess
terribly
I gotta switch
important.
Up. I'm going Creed.
I'm gonna go J-Lo because she touched a wider audience.
Damn you guys. I'm gonna go with Creed. I listen to more Creed music.
Fair enough. Creed moves on, beats out J-Lo. That's the way this tournament works. That's how we got to do it, guys.
It is solely opinion.
It's solely based on opinion.
That is it.
Like, that's the beauty of this.
We say who connected with us the most, not you.
Exactly. Good
point. All right, so the last of the first round.
I think we make really good points, though, on all sides.
I mean, and I wouldn't say on that one because I'm going to say a more diverse group listen to J-Lo than Creed. You had people that were white listening to Creed. You had people that were black or white listening to J-Lo. You had black listening to J-Lo. I don't think there was a lot of black Creed fans.
All right. Fair enough. Creed moves on anyway. Well, it wasn't going to change.
You know, I know. I know.
At least I defended J-Lo's honor.
All right. What's next?
All right. Christina Aguilera.
Okay.
Aerosmith.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, Aerosmith being a part of the 90s crew, that's a little tough to like swallow, I think. But then again, they had some huge hits in the 90s. I would have to say Christina Aguilera.
I'm going to say because I think Aerosmith is an epic band that's going to, because of what they did, you know, in multiple generations or multiple decades. But I think, like I just made the last point, more of a diverse group listened to Christina Aguilera.
What a Girl Wants, all that stuff.
I think the only breakthrough that Aerosmith did was with Run DMC when they did Walk This Way. And that kind of hit, too.
But they also, you brought up the movie Armageddon earlier, and they were the one who did the theme song for Armageddon that was very popular.
Very true, but how many African-American people do you think have a
Is
Steven
that our
Tyler
new basis,
poster?
Though? Is it just how many African-Americans will listen to
because
these?
I'm going to pick one that's going to touch more people, and you know what I mean, as far as more people that have heard it as opposed to just who I personally like.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, obviously I'm going to be listening to more of Aerosmith than I listen to Christina Aguilera, but Christina Aguilera is sold to a wider group of people than Aerosmith is going to be sold to.
All right, fair enough, but I'm going Christina Aguilera. Christina,
so where are we at on the first round? All right, so Britney won, NSYNC. Well, we've got all the winners. That's it. All right,
that's the end of the first round.
End of the first round. Second round.
Now, how many did you choose? 16? Or did you only choose 8?
What? I've got 2, 4. Oh, I did 12.
You did 12. We can't have a tournament with only 12.
It's okay. We can pick up some extra ones next week.
We'll
round
just have
two.
Really one uneven.
Round 2.
Somebody's already won, basically.
Yeah.
Damn it, Bobby.
Britney Spears.
How'd you fuck this up?
No. I've got it. There's still 3 matchups.
Round
Britney
two.
Spears.
3 NC. Matchups. We need 4 matchups.
I know,
because
dude.
One person is not matched
Stop.
Up.
I've got this, okay? I know what I'm doing.
All right, Bobby, okay. Go ahead.
NSYNC and Britney Spears.
NSYNC and Britney Spears. I got to go NSYNC. I've got to go NSYNC. I'm not knocking Britney. I've just got to go NSYNC. When it comes to 90s powerhouse, you're going to have just much more there with NSYNC all the way around.
Yeah,
I agree.
Album sales, songs, varieties, the crossover appeal, everything. And they are so identified with the 90s.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Snoop and Biggie.
I'm going with Snoop.
Biggie. Man. Oh, you guys are going to put it on me like that.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper. Heavy D up in the limousine.
Here's the problem. The problem with this argument right here is Biggie died in the 90s. So, like, all you had was Biggie in the 90s. Like,
right.
That's all you had. So the identifiable aspect of the 90s is solely on Biggie when it comes to his music career.
Right.
But is it because
Snoop
spanned more of the decade?
Snoop literally was more popular. I don't know. I think, but see, that's the thing. It's like Biggie's death probably got him more popularity because he died.
It's the artist factor.
It's the artist factor and the fact that you won't have that anymore. Like Selena, like what would Selena do? You know?
Yeah. She would light the world up with her song.
She would. And unfortunately, Biggie would do the same thing, but he's not there. And Snoop, like, continued on, even with the Master P stuff in the late 90s, he had some good, like, Bow Wow Wow.
But people are, even though Biggie was only around then, people who don't even know who the fuck Biggie is, they're singing Biggie songs.
Yeah, but people do that gin but and Snoop juice reference is, constantly. Mind on my money, money on my mind. I've heard
Snoop
white
is like
bankers
an icon.
Say that on like shows. And
that's
stuff.
A tough one. And the reason that this is a tough one is because, honestly, when it's all said and done, Snoop will stand next to Biggie, quality-wise and legend-wise. Like, they're going to be equals.
I just
like,
throw
it's
on
not
the fact
just
that
Biggie over the top
Snoop
of Snoop.
Snoop never completely dropped off, and I think that he was earlier, as far as he spanned more of that decade. And I'm not taking anything from Biggie, but I think Biggie had a quick run and blow, and then he died. So I'm not knocking a guy for dying, but I think as far as full domination of the decade, you had Snoop in more areas than you had Biggie.
All right, I think that Dan made a good point. I'm going to go Snoop.
Okay.
Snoop over Biggie. I know that that's a huge, huge matchup
right
there.
And I'm
not
saying that Biggie is an epic, but I'm just saying, like, if we were going by criteria.
Oh, yeah. No, I get where you're coming from. Like, that's just a huge
just
matchup
no one
in itself.
Shoot me, okay?
All right, is just don't
I,
shoot.
Is he at large?
So what do we got next?
All right, the final matchup in round two is Creed
okay.
and Christina Aguilera.
Creed versus Christina Aguilera. Ooh, that could be tough, man.
I'm going to go with the exact same argument that I went the last time. She appealed to a wider demographic than Creed.
Man, I don't know.
It was more likely for someone to put in a Christina Aguilera if you were to sample random cars than Creed.
You do make a point there. I'm going to go Christina Aguilera. Creed gets beat out this time. I think Christina Aguilera is where it's at on
I
this
just
one.
Hope Aguilera's people listen to this because I think I should be have a job.
You
a
are their new PR.
I think
you're the PR person.
Snoop needs to hire me or Christina Aguilera.
Or
all right.
Jennifer Lopez.
So,
or J-Lo.
All right, so we've got a triple threat at the end of this.
We can't have a triple threat.
There is three people left. Do you want to do two and then the winner go against the last person?
You messed this up.
Yeah.
How did you screw this
just
up so bad, Bobby?
Do it the way that I have it, goddamn.
Here's the way that we're going to do it because we have to have a conclusion. How about if we could bring back any of those bands?
If we could bring back
one band.
Okay, bring back one.
And go back.
Okay, hold on. Bring back one, and that will go against...
Who do we have on the losing side?
You have Creed,
uh-huh.
Backstreet Boys.
They're right in front of you.
Yeah.
You can read them all.
Creed, Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees, Jennifer Lopez, Aerosmith, and Tupac.
Man.
What do you think? I'm going to say it's going to be between Tupac and Aerosmith.
I would, yeah, you'd have to say that those two would be the biggest. Like, and I would say Tupac specifically because, once again, that's the 90s aspect. I got to bring Tupac back.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you because, yeah.
Let's bring Tupac back.
His diversification.
All right, Tupac's back. Pick one, two, or three?
Three.
Okay. NSYNC versus Snoop Dogg.
Ooh, tough matchup. Tough
I'm
going to
go with my previous argument. Snoop Dogg dominated more of the decade than NSYNC.
Yeah, but NSYNC is literally identified solely with, I got to go NSYNC.
But
as much as I love hip-hop, as much as I work with that, I've got to go NSYNC.
But this is what I'm going to throw back at you. We had the argument of that groups appealing to people as opposed to individuals. Plus, I am willing to bet that anyone who listened to NSYNC has also listened to Snoop Dogg. I don't think it's the other way around.
Man.
I can see that.
I can see that argument. All right, Bobby, what do you say?
I say NSYNC.
And you say Snoop Dogg.
I say Snoop Dogg because I think there's more crossover with Snoop Dogg in his favor than NSYNC. Dudes from East St. Louis never put in an NSYNC album. But a girl in the suburbs has listened to NSYNC, and I guarantee you she's listened to Snoop Dogg.
Here's a question. How many people were excited when Snoop changed his name or really fucking cared that Snoop changed his name to Snoop Lion? Not many people. How many people talked about the NSYNC reunion, whether it was a 30 fucking second
That's
reunion
true.
Or not,
yeah, but
at
you,
the MTV
but
Awards?
You have to take this into consideration. One group was gone. One has continued to go. So there's going to be more hype built behind a reunion than there will be someone who has never left. Okay. They have stayed consistent.
Right. I'm going to go Snoop Dogg. I'm going to go Snoop Dogg as much as NSYNC is identified with the 90s so heavily.
I agree with you on that.
I think it's difficult. Dan Walsh's
I think it's
smile.
Difficult.
No,
that's a difficult call for me because to not have a boy band from the 1990s represented heavily is almost sacrilegious.
I think they were represented. It was just they went up against some of the strongest individuals.
You are just bullying people today, sir.
I didn't mean
you are right, bullying
NSYNC,
people.
NSYNC, I will always agree with you.
But
that
your argument about the people listening to one and not the other and vice versa, I think is a very valid argument. That's why I chose Snoop Dogg. What's the next one?
I think we could have picked the conferences a little bit better. I think we've been able to filter out some of the most identifiable way too early.
Yes.
And that's on both of them. I think we put two that shouldn't be being put together yet. Because they were more epic than just one.
Well, if we also had set up more than 12 people, that'd be kind of nice.
We kind of cheated to
Christina Aguilera and
put
Tupac.
Put the turkey leg down.
But we
put
gave Tupac another chance.
Christina and Tupac.
Christina Aguilera versus Tupac. Now, here's now this
going
is
back to your dance. How many people actually listen Tupac. To Tupac and Christina Aguilera?
If I have to choose between Christina Aguilera and Tupac, when it comes to identifiable in the 90s, Tupac wins. Like, Tupac died in the 90s. They idolized him in the 90s. Tupac was the 1990s when it came to hip-hop music, along with Snoop Dogg and Biggie.
And you know what?
Dre, Snoop Dogg, Biggie, Tupac. That's your 1990s.
And I'm going to go, and I'm actually going to go against my first choice because I just made my own point to myself. There was more likely people that listened to Christina that also listened to Tupac than the other way around.
So, who do you choose?
I'm going to say it's going to be Tupac.
Okay, Tupac moves on.
Tupac.
So our final is?
Our final is Tupac versus Snoop.
Damn.
Again. Man, that's a tough one, but you know what?
Again, a rematch, but I'm going with Snoop.
I got to go Snoop also, man.
Wow.
I got to go Snoop also. I think Snoop, overall, as far as indelible into the 1990s, that name is synonymous with the 1990s. I think Snoop Dogg is. So, ladies and gentlemen, your winner of the Tournament of Pop Culture Part 2 for Best Group or Artist of the 1990s in Music in General is...
Snoop Dogg!
There it is.
And that's, or Snoop Lion, Snoop Wolverine, whatever he is this week.
Whatever you want to call him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on Overtime. We appreciate you listening every single week. Check out theqnow.com. We will see you guys next time on the show.